KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's Black Friday. We're going to go through the best moments of the year, but first...
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
There's a story that has emerged in Canada over the course of the last several months, really over the course of the last year since 2021 in Canada, and it really speaks to the complete destruction of the Western ethic. It speaks to how a belief system about life and natural law and right and wrong has completely collapsed in the face of radical individualistic autonomy, the idea that you are free to dispose of your own body, your own life, in any way that you see fit, or at least you should be, that the thing that makes you truly free is there being no boundaries, no restrictions on your activity whatsoever. Not liberty or ordered liberty, but libertinism. You should be able to do whatever it is you want up to and including disposing of your own life. Now, it's always been controversial in the West as to whether there should be a law regarding suicide. Should it be illegal for you to commit suicide? Now, it seems like a silly question because obviously if you make it illegal, it's not like, well, you know, I'm killing myself. Now I'm really afraid of going to jail. But the idea is that society does have a stake in you preserving your life. Society should not be facilitating your death. And this particularly comes up in the realm of assisted suicide and euthanasia. In 2021, there's a Canadian law on assisted suicide that was passed, and it contained a provision that would allow doctors to provide assisted suicide to the psychiatrically ill starting in 2022. This is according to City Journal circa 2022, May 23rd, 2022, in an article by Theodore Dalrymple. He says, given that severe psychiatric disorder tends to cloud the judgment of those who suffer from it, one wonders who will benefit most from this law if passed. Certainly, it might remove from society people who are often difficult, unproductive, and expensive for others. They might be encouraged to shuffle off this mortal coil as a service to their relatives or even to their country. The distinction between the voluntary and the compulsory might become blurred. The law is a logical extension of the right to a dignified death procured by others, that is, a mode and time of death of the person's choosing with the aid of doctors and nurses. Originally, the right was conceded to those already dying. But why should the dying have all the best deaths? Either a man has a right to dispose of himself or he doesn't. Whether he happens to be dying, as in a sense we all are anyway, is relevant. If a man has the right to kill himself, it's only humane to give him the opportunity to do so in comfort, surrounded by his loved ones, with soft music playing, free of the messy outcomes so often associated with unassisted suicide. What this comes down to, and this is a really deep question in sort of Western ethics really since the rise of the Enlightenment, is what are rights? What is liberty? Now, there are people who insist that liberty has inherent value, right? This is really a question of inherent versus instrumental value. There are certain things in life that have inherent value, and there are certain things in life that have instrumental value. So, for example, friendship, Aristotle would say, is something that has inherent value, right? You don't need friends in order to accomplish X. Having the friend is the thing that is valuable. Having a relationship with your wife, having a relationship with your kids, these are things of inherent and final value. And then there are things that are instrumentally valuable, like, for example, having money. Having money is a wonderful thing. But having a big number in the bank doesn't really do anything for you. It's what you can do with the money that makes it valuable. It is instrumentally valuable. So the question about liberty is whether liberty is itself inherently valuable or instrumentally valuable. In other words, you having the ability to choose across a wide variety of options, is that the thing that is good? Or is it good because you now have the ability to choose among a wide variety of good options? Does liberty make bad options good because you have the possibility of choosing them? And this is, as I say, a very broad Enlightenment question. John Stuart Mill in On Liberty would probably argue that liberty has inherent value, that the ability to choose is what makes us human, and that is the thing that has actual real value. And then you have philosophers who are sort of more traditionally minded, and some who are actually not of the right, people like Joseph Raz, famous Israeli philosopher, who would suggest liberty does not have inherent value. Liberty has instrumental value. In other words, liberty is designed to allow you to choose between mutually morally okay options. And liberty does not make a bad option good. And what Joseph Raz argues in his book about liberty is that if I'm forced to kill the person next to me, there's a threat to my child, and the idea is someone's going to shoot my child unless I shoot the guy next to me. Is that more or less blameworthy? Is that more or less moral than me just choosing to shoot the person next to me? So the idea is that me under arrest shooting somebody is significantly less morally blameworthy than me just choosing to shoot someone. In other words, my liberty did not make the decision better. It did not. The liberty itself was not inherently good. The addition of liberty to a bad action did not make the action better. It actually made it significantly worse because I had the liberty to choose otherwise. What this suggests is that liberty is not actually of inherent value. It's instrumentally good. Liberty is good because you can choose between a bunch of various options, all of which are decent or good. But the minute you can choose a really, really bad option, suddenly liberty loses its value. In fact, liberty becomes morally blameworthy. You using liberty to do a bad thing makes you a worse person than you using liberty to do a good thing, or you being under duress to do a bad thing. Okay, this all seems very abstract, but when it comes to assisted suicide, it becomes a lot less abstract. In other words, do you have the right to kill yourself? Do you have the right to have somebody else kill you? And so in the liberty is of inherent value camp, yeah, to be sure, I mean, that is the core of who you are, the essence of what you are. This would be maybe the Isaiah Berlin ideal of liberty. Sure, why not? Absolutely. That is what makes you you, is your ability to choose whatever it is that you want to do. And then in the liberty is of instrumental value camp, you'd say, well, yes, but you choosing to die is a bad decision for you, for society, for everyone. And it says something about a society that allows people to choose to die, especially with the assistance of others, that society does not value human life. And you're suddenly in a really ugly area where liberty is valued more highly than life. Now, normally, you know, we are guaranteed in the United States life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And normally, life and liberty aren't really seen as coming into conflict because, after all, who would choose to die, right? Life and liberty, if you have liberty, you choose to live, right? This is sort of the basic philosophical view of Thomas Hobbes, that self-preservation is the main motivation at the root of human behavior. But what happens when you believe that you should be able to dispose of your body, you should be able to do whatever you want at any time, up to and including death? And that comes into conflict with the value of life in a society. Well, the answer is what we're about to see in Canada. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Now, the truth is that in Canada, some of the assisted suicide restrictions that they have, they like to pretend that it's about individual autonomy. It's not totally about individual autonomy because there's still rules on assisted suicide in Canada. In other words, if you're a person who wants to have an assisted suicide, you're perfectly healthy, you're adjudicated as perfectly healthy, and you just want to kill yourself. In Canada, presumably the answer would be no. Or you actually have to have a doctor's note, which means that it's really not about autonomy because the society is still deciding when you can and cannot kill yourself. And there's still restrictions as to what age and under what conditions. Okay, so even in Canada, they like to pretend that radical liberty is the solution. Liberty is of inherent value, not instrumental value. And so you should be able to pick. Even Canada doesn't really believe that, in the same way that the left routinely argues love is love with regard to marriage, but they don't actually believe all forms of love are created equal, because even the left believes that, for example, a boy shouldn't marry his brother. So the slogan of radical individual autonomy, up to and including assisted suicide, that's not correct either. It's just that Canada has decided certain lives are not worth living. Canada has agreed that certain conditions make it okay within the realm of moral decisions to kill yourself. And we're not talking about just restricted to a woman who has terminal cancer and she's going to die in 2 weeks in excruciating pain, or she's going to be euthanized by a doctor. The reality, by the way, is that in most situations in which you have a terminal cancer patient in excruciating pain, they end up being opiated into death, generally speaking anyway. And this is very harsh language, but it happens to be the reality. There are certain circumstances where obviously there's a very sympathetic case that can be made for the idea that people want to die because they're going to die in 3 days anyway, and they're in excruciating pain, and people die in very ugly ways. Death is a very, very ugly thing, particularly from medical causes, as opposed to, you know, sort of suddenly. I mean, like gradual medical causes as opposed to suddenly. But what Canada is doing is something different. They're now broadening the scope of how suicide should apply. And this is really dangerous stuff, because this is Western society deciding that life under most circumstances is not worth living, that there are just too many circumstances in which it's okay for people to take their own lives. In fact, it's morally praiseworthy for a society to encourage the taking of life. And this results in what is a horrifying dystopian story straight out of Soylent Green by Rupa Subramania over at Barry Weiss's Substack over at Common Sense. It's called Scheduled to Die, The Rise of Canada's Assisted Suicide Program. Quote, on September 7th, Margaret Marcilla called Joshua Tepper, the doctor who planned to kill her son. Marcilla is 46. She lives outside Toronto with her husband and daughter, a nursing student. She had known that her 23-year-old son, Keanu Vafayan, was depressed. He was diabetic, he had lost vision in one eye, he didn't have a job or girlfriend or much of a future, and Marcilla asked her daughter to log on to Keanu's account. Keanu had given his sister access so she could help him with his email. He never shared anything with his mother, what he was thinking, where he was going, and Marcilla was scared. That was when Marcilla learned that Keanu had applied and in late July been approved for medical assistance in dying, a.k.a. MAID, a.k.a. assisted suicide. His death was scheduled for September 22nd. In a September 7th email from Tepper, the doctor, to Keanu and Tekla Hendrickson, the executive director of MAID House, a Toronto facility where Keanu's death would take place, Tepper mapped out the schedule. Hi, he emailed. I'm confirming the following timing. Please arrive at 8:30 a.m. I will ask the nurse at 8:45 a.m., and I will start the procedure at around 9 a.m. Procedure will be completed a few minutes after it starts. The procedure entailed administering two drugs. First, a coma-inducing agent, then a neuromuscular blocker that would stop Keanu's breathing. He would be dead in 5 to 10 minutes. Apparently, Keanu wanted to bring a dog with him. In an email to him that same day, Hendrickson said, quote, dogs are welcome in this space as long as there is someone there who will be responsible for them during the time at MAID House. Marcilla was terrified. She had tried to do everything for her son, but it had been rough for him. She and his dad had gotten divorced when Keanu was still a kid. On his 16th birthday, she'd given him a BMW. When he was 17, he'd been in a bad car accident. He wasn't up to college. He smoked a ton of weed, which, by the way, again, this is sort of a side note in the piece, but to pretend that weed addiction has nothing to do with depression or suicidal ideation is really silly and contra the data. He lived with his dad, then with his mom, and now with her sister, Keanu's aunt. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he was unhappy. Going blind in his left eye this past April was the tipping point. The day after she discovered the email, Marcilla called Tepper. She pretended to be a MAID applicant. She called herself Joanne and said, quote, she wanted to go through the whole process in general from A to Z before the Christmas holidays, if you know what I mean. Tepper indicated he understood. Tepper, sounding matter-of-fact, ran through the list of requirements. You have to be over 18. You have to have an Ontario health insurance plan. You have to have suffering that cannot be remediated or treated in some way that's acceptable to you. And that's the wiggle word, right? Acceptable to you. Because the truth is, most people under a doctor's care, most people go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, have periods in which they believe that the care they are receiving is not acceptable to them. This happens all the time. Again, I have mentally ill relatives. The notion that you are constantly and consistently feeling success with your psychiatrist or psychologist is just not true. Very often people go through spates where they feel like things are working, and they go through areas where they feel like things are not working. So it's very easy to fulfill that standard, suffering that cannot be remediated or treated in some way that's acceptable to you. In fact, one of the signs of depression when you see people who are depressed is they feel stuck. They feel as though they're stuck in time, that moment is going to last forever. This is not a transient feeling. This is a permanent feeling. So depression and suicidal ideation being very linked, again, not very hard to basically walk into any of these clinics in Canada and just say, my suffering can't be remediated or treated in a way that's acceptable to me. I'm stuck right here, right now in my depression. Marcilla, who recorded the conversation and shared the 5.5-minute recording with Common Sense, told Tepper she was diabetic and blind, more or less her son's condition. Tepper said he'd had a lot of patients similar to you. Then the doctor said, quote, if you wanted, I could do a formal assessment with you. Marcilla asked if she should come in. Tepper replied, we do them remotely, often by video of some type, WhatsApp, Zoom, FaceTime, something like that. A few minutes later, Marcilla hung up. She had just over 2 weeks to stop her son from dying. Says this columnist for Barry Weiss's Substack, when we think of assisted suicide or euthanasia, we imagine a limited number of elderly people with late-stage cancer or advanced ALS in severe pain. The argument for helping them die is clear. Death is imminent. Why should they be forced to suffer? In 2015, Canada's Supreme Court ruled that assisted suicide was constitutional. Now, again, one of the things that happened in the United States is that euthanasia is legal in certain places in the United States, but the question as to whether there is a constitutional right to assisted suicide has never been adjudicated at the Supreme Court level, right? That you should strike down all bans on assisted suicide. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire. Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, more on the problem of assisted suicide in the West and what it means for the West more broadly speaking. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Why do you need an updated COVID-19 booster? Because your risk of getting very sick goes up with age, and boosters can help lower the chance of severe outcomes. Visit the Wintu Cultural Tribal Center at 4755 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 noon until 6:30 p.m., keeping your immunity strong. This community clinic is brought to you by the California Department of Public Health and MyTurn.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's Black Friday. We're going through some of my favorite moments of the year. So we're going through a fascinating piece at Barry Weiss's Substack all about assisted suicide in Canada. It is an indicator of a dying civilization. In 2015, Canada's Supreme Court ruled assisted suicide was constitutional. In June 2016, Parliament passed Bill C-14, otherwise known as the Medical Assistance in Dying Act, made was now the law of the land. Anyone who could show their death was reasonably foreseeable was eligible. By the way, everyone's death is reasonably foreseeable, is it not? That's literally the predicate to every life insurance ad we do on this program. Like, everyone is going to die. Hate to break it to you, that's the reality. In this respect, Canada was hardly alone. The Netherlands, Switzerland, Belgium, Spain, Australia, and New Zealand, among others, allow assisted suicide. So do 10 states in the United States. In 2017, the first full year in which MAID, which is administered by provincial governments, was in operation, 2,838 people opted for assisted suicide, according to a government report. By 2021, within 4 years, the figure had jumped to 10,064. That accounted for more than 3% of all death in Canada the entire year. Okay, so these numbers are skyrocketing. There have been a total of almost 32,000 assisted suicide deaths in Canada. A large majority of those people were 65 to 80 when they died. In 2017, only 34 MAID deaths were in the 18 to 45-year-old category. In 2018, that figure rose to at least 49. In 2019, it was 103. In 2020, 118. And in 2021, 139. Today, thousands of people who had lived for many years are applying successfully to kill themselves. Indeed, in some Canadian provinces, nearly 5% of all deaths are assisted suicide. In 2021, the province of Quebec reported that 4.7% of deaths in the province were due to MAID. In British Columbia, the number was 4.8%. Progressive Vancouver Island is unofficially known as the assisted death capital of the world, according to doctors. Why the dramatic increase? Well, over the past few years, doctors have taken an increasingly liberal view when it comes to defining reasonably foreseeable death. Then last year, the government amended the original legislation, stating that one could apply for this program even if one's death were not reasonably foreseeable. The second track of applicants simply had to show they had a condition that was intolerable to them and could not be relieved under conditions they consider acceptable. In 2023, the numbers are almost certain to rise. Next March, the government is scheduled to expand the pool of eligible suicide seekers to include the mentally ill and mature minors. Okay, this is totally insane. It comes, again, of a broader worldview, which suggests radical individual autonomy is, in and of itself, an inherent good. It is not an inherent good. The mentally ill people are not capable of making good decisions for themselves, which is generally why they have people around them who care for them, who try to help them. And you're talking about mature minors, you're talking about 16, 17-year-old kids who, by the way, are going to be plagued by mental health issues because a lot of teen suicidal ideation and depression is linked to age. It is linked to that age where you have hormones racing through. You don't know what to do with them. You don't have social structures around you. You have a broken family structure. You have mental issues that are just starting to crop up. And the solution in Canada, apparently, is to make suicide available. According to Canada's Department of Justice, parents are generally entitled to make treatment decisions on their children's behalf. The mature minor doctrine, however, allows children deemed sufficiently mature to make their own treatment decisions. The federal government does not define mature. It does not specify who determines whether one is mature. It's not like you have to go to a court and a court says, oh, you're a mature minor. Basically, it's self-assessed. The doctrine also varies from one province to another. Dr. Dawn Davies, a palliative care physician who supported MAID when it was first conceived, said she had tons of worries about where this might lead. By the way, if you're talking about the worries about profitability, that's a very real worry. If you're a doctor who makes their living doing assisted suicides, well, what are you going to do? You're going to broaden the spectrum of available conditions that allow for assisted suicide. Pretty clearly, if you make your living killing kids, then a 17-year-old comes to you and says, listen, I'm a mature minor. I'm really, really depressed. I'd like to make an appointment. If that's how you make your money, now, capitalism does not discriminate between good economic behavior, morally speaking, and bad economic behavior, morally speaking. Capitalism will sell you pornography, and it will sell you votive candles. It doesn't matter. And that happens to be the case if you are selling death, which is why assisted suicide is a very different thing even than euthanasia, the sort of right to commit suicide under medical care. And assisted suicide is actually a step beyond that. Dr. Don Davies could imagine kids with personality disorders or other mental health issues saying they wanted to die. Some of them will mean it, some of them won't. We won't necessarily be able to discern who is who. And according to this article in Common Sense, Barry Weiss's Substack, Hugh Scher, an attorney advising Margaret Marcella, told me, quote, while other countries have explored extending assisted suicide to minors, those governments have insisted on substantial safeguards, including parental notification and consent, which, again, is totally crazy. By the way, like, if you're a parent and you consent to your 17-year-old committing suicide, who's to say that you're like, no one should be able to consent to anyone else's death. And the reality is you should not be able to consent in your own death, barring certain extraordinary circumstances. And from a pure pro-life point of view, you should not be able to consent in your own death other than if you are talking about the kind of palliative care that we see routinely in hospitals that are designed to minimize pain, not to cause death. Coming up, more of the best moments from the Ben Shapiro Show. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
Hi, Bob the Cop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Renning Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Renning Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Renning Kia. RenningKia.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
No bites!
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Arthur Brooks. He's the William Henry Bloomberg Professor of Practice of Public Leadership at Harvard Kennedy School, Professor of Management Practice at the Harvard Business School. He is also over at American Enterprise Institute. Arthur, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. So you have a great piece over at The Atlantic titled Americans Pursuing Happiness in the Wrong Places. And it's all about the fact that, you know, essentially we've been investing our time and our effort in all the wrong places. So where would be the right places for us to invest ourselves, especially going into the holiday season? It's time for a lot of people to recalibrate.
Yeah, you know, this is what I teach at Harvard. Believe it or not, I teach the Science of Happiness course at the Harvard Business School, which is a very oversubscribed class. I mean, I realize that supply chain management sounds more interesting, but happiness turns out to be what people want. And one of the things that I tell them is that the happiest people, they all have a set of habits in common. Kind of your happiness 401k plan. And the world doesn't tell you to do this. The world tells you money, power, pleasure, fame. But the right four are faith, family, friends, and work that serves other people. And that's exactly what our society has been pushing Americans away from. And that's the reason our happiness is in decline.
So one of the things that you point out in this article is that there are essentially a bunch of institutions that have been falling apart in the United States, and people's happiness has been declining because of that failure, that as people fail to affiliate with these institutions, happiness has been declining. You mentioned religious affiliation, you mentioned marriage, you mentioned friendship, and you mentioned workforce. And, I mean, each one of these, let's take these in turn, because it is obvious that this has a serious effect on public discourse. And if you mention this sort of stuff, by the way, you become very unpopular very quickly, because we have decided to sort of ingest and then throw out to the world this idea that what Western member, being a citizen of the West, really is about is atomistic individualism that rejects literally all of these things that we're talking about right now. So let's start with religious affiliation, which has become increasingly unpopular in the West. It seems as though we're on a glide path to complete irreligion in the same way that Europe is an irreligious continent. Is that sort of the trend?
Well, that's what it looks like. I don't actually think it's quite that dire. And the reason is because we tend to wax and wane in religious affiliation in the United States. And I think we're due for a great new spiritual enlightenment, some of it through traditional religious affiliation, some of it through other methods. But the point is that having a serious understanding of your life philosophy, your faith, your spirituality. You and I are traditionally religious people. You're Jewish, I'm Catholic, and we practice it very seriously. But anybody who actually gets a zoom out on the boring day-to-day existence, the tedium of my life, my work, my money, it's so terrible. And we get enlightenments of that from time to time. And generally speaking, that's through traditional religious affiliation. So it's bad right now. We're losing a percentage point of people who are religious or spiritual every single year. But I believe that, and good, people who are like you and me, who are traditionally religious, we got to get after it and start bringing people the beauty, the joy that actually comes from understanding there's something bigger than us.
You know, Arthur, I think that one of the big things here in this particular segment of what you're talking about that's truly troubling is how many religious institutions have decided to essentially, you know, what C.S. Lewis would call moderate their view of religion, that religion is sort of an adjunct to life. It's not a core part of life. It doesn't really have any eternal truths to teach. It's sort of a place where you get together. At the very least, you have to take the values of modernity and inject the values of modernity into traditional religion, which leads people to ask a pretty obvious question. If you're injecting the values of modernity into religion, why do you need the values of religion at all? Why not just use the values of modernity?
No, it's true. And this is the same thing that we find actually from the worst parents. You know, they want to get closer to their kids and their kids are pushing away and being really rebellious. And so they say that's okay, and they start chasing their kids into, you know, the heterodoxy, into the chaos that actually is adolescent life. And later on, kids will always say, the thing I hated the most is when my parents, like, didn't lay down the rules anymore. I think it's true for any institution that sets the boundaries. We push against it. That's normal. That's how humans behave. But we want to know that there actually are boundaries. There are rules. There is right and wrong. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you which religion. I'm not even going to tell you shouldn't study the Stoic philosophers instead. What I'm going to say is there are things that work better than other things, and we need to feel the discomfort of saying that is actually constricting my behavior.
So, Arthur, the other thing that you talk about in your piece, one of the four things that we're talking about is marriage rates. So, again, another thing that's unpopular to talk about is the fact that marriage has been completely redefined and has fallen apart in the United States. Marriage rates have fallen, as you say, 38% since 2000. If you go back to 1950, it's fallen a lot more than that. The marriage rate started to decline really in the United States in about the mid-1980s. with the complete win of no-fault divorce in the United States. Childbearing has also fallen dramatically since 1990. We are not even close to replacement rates, and it is likely to fall still further as more and more people decide that they're going to remain single over the course of their life. Each succeeding generation is marrying later and less than the preceding generation in the United States right now. Number one, why has that happened? And number two, is there anything that can be done to revitalize that in an age when marriage has basically been redefined as cohabitation, romantic partnership, but having nothing to do with the actual propagation of a family unit?
Yeah, no, the one thing to keep in mind, Ben, which is really interesting, too, over the past 15 years, that cohabitation has fallen, too. So what we really have here is not a marriage crisis, although we have that. We have a love crisis in this country. And what happens is the polarity inside societies oscillates between fear and love. You know, you find this in families, you find it in companies, you find it in countries and communities. And right now, we really are in a fear polarity, which is horrible. It's absolutely miserable. And that's why men and women are afraid of each other. We have all of the, you know, these culture wars that we have in you know, virtually every segment of society. It's not based on hatred. Hatred is downstream from fear. And so what we actually need is for people to, I mean, I'm not trying to be a Berkeley Summer of Love kind of guy here in 1968. I'm a traditional conservative, but let me tell you, I will take that 10 times out of 10 over the fear and the anger and the depression and the hatred that people have and the loneliness that actually comes from that. So yeah, more and more marriage. But what I really want is a lot more romantic love.
A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Zooming with Arthur Brooks, he's William Henry Bloomberg, Professor of Practice of Public Leadership over at Harvard Kennedy School and Professor of Management Practice at Harvard Business School. It's a great piece in The Atlantic about how happiness in America is falling off. So we've talked about religion. We've talked about marriage. The other aspect that you talk about here is friendship, that the percentage of people with fewer than 3 close friends has nearly doubled since 1990. That seems, I would obviously bet money that that has something to do with the first two things. I mean, most people who say that they have close friends also probably have a solid marriage and are members of a religious community. It's a lot easier to find people with whom you have something in common when you go to church with them every Sunday. And it's a lot easier to find people that you can share time with when you actually have a partner or a spouse than it is when you are just by yourself. And there are also no social spaces where people even meet anymore. That's just not how people interact. This one seems like it should be largely attributable to the rise of the internet and this ersatz friendship that doesn't actually amount to friendship.
Yeah, no, ersatz friendship is exactly right. The huge problem with the internet is that it promises everything. That social media in particular promises these relationships. What they give you instead is a simulacrum for these relationships. There's a lot of good neuroscience on this, Ben. For example, there's a neuropeptide that functions like a hormone in the brain called oxytocin. We all know about this. It's the bonding hormone. It makes you love people with eye contact and touch. But you need eye contact and touch. You can't get it over Facebook where it's everything is virtual. And so the result is that people will binge on social media because they're lonely trying to get this oxytocin that they crave and they don't even know that this is the thing that they're missing. It's kind of like having all of your meals, you know, eating burgers and fries and milkshakes where you get your caloric needs, but you don't meet your nutrition needs. And so you're hungry all the time, but you're unhealthy. And that's exactly what's happening. Worse and worse, more tenuous relationships, greater loneliness. And now add to this Zoom work, where people are saying, yeah, it's really convenient. I want to do it forever. But I don't know why I hate my job and why I'm so lonely all the time. That's why being at work in person is incredibly important for almost everybody's life so that they'll have more friendship.
And then finally, you talk about workforce participation rate. We've talked on the show with Nicholas Eberstadt about the percentage of men who are dropping out of the workforce. It's obviously a dramatic fail by men. One of the things that has happened, again, all these things tie together. The decline of marriage has really had a massive effect on workforce participation rate among men, because one thing that is a very durable social science finding is that men earn more when they get married. men who are single, they work fewer hours, they feel less necessity to earn, they earn to sort of get by, and then they have families, and suddenly I've got a wife and a kid to support, and I need to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Marriage declines. There's no real rationale for men to go out and work harder, and so men are dropping out of the workforce. Meanwhile, women are working more. They're having fewer kids, and it's really almost a weirdly bifurcated demographic when you talk about working women. You've got working women who have kids out of wedlock and are very poor, and then you have working women who are highly educated and who, by the way, also have much higher marital rates than poor women. People tend to think of the working woman as a PhD college grad who is working a high-powered job at a law firm and is unmarried until she's 40. That's actually, in the United States, a fairly small demographic. It exists in New York and L.A., and it doesn't exist nearly anywhere else. It turns out that people who are more highly educated get married more and then are existing in two-earning couples, two-income couples. Why is the workforce participation rate among men declining so much, do you think?
Well, part of it is exactly what you say. You know, the essence of dignity in life, and dignity is at the center of happiness, is to be needed. This is the most important thing that we need to keep in mind. Despair comes from not being needed as a person. This is the reason the welfare state was so catastrophically, you know, it failed poor people so much, because it treated them like liabilities to manage as opposed to assets to develop. You know, you can spend as many trillions of dollars as you want, and you're not going to help people if they get the despair of being needed. Nobody's stupid. They know in their liabilities. And when you go from a society that says, basically, we need you, and say, all right, I'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll go to work, and weirdly, I'm happy. Weirdly, I'm happy because I have some place to go, I have something to do, I have something to come home from. But when nobody needs you, well, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And this is the situation that a lot of men are in for lots of reasons, as it turns out. They've been left behind by the economy. They've been left behind by the culture. They don't know what to do. Nick Eberstadt is the best demographer in the world on this very subject. It's not a demography of work. It's a demography of dignity is what we're talking about.
Well, that is Arthur Brooks. Check out his great piece on family and religion and happiness over at The Atlantic this week. It really is fantastic. Arthur, great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Ben.
We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up. Remember that time that our entire society decided that marriage was a waste of time and basically random sexual hookups was going to be great? Well, it turns out that single people are not super happy about it. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. They fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Enterprise High School's winter concert is Tuesday, November 29th at 7 p.m. at the David Marr Amphitheater at UPREP. Enjoy holiday music led by choir director Alyssa Awney and band director Gabriel Sakuma. Tickets are on sale now and can be purchased at Enterprise Music Office at 530-222-6601 through enterprisemusic.net or can be purchased at the door the evening of the concert. All proceeds benefit the students of the Enterprise High School Music Department.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it turns out that single people are rediscovering this thing. It's called committed relationships. Well, in one piece of good news, it appears that single people actually are discovering that their entire worldview is stupid with regard to dating, which is a good thing. Maybe that is, you know, it's easy to despair of Western civilization. But maybe marriage will be revitalized by the fact that the alternatives really, really suck. The general idea that was sold by the left, which is that complete sexual freedom and individualistic autonomy with regard to sex, that it's just about consent. Consent is the only thing you need to make for a happy sex life, as opposed to, you know, commitment, institutions, monogamous partners. You know, that maybe that is collapsing in on itself like a dying star, because it turns out it actually makes people very, very unhappy. There's a good piece over at the Wall Street Journal by Elizabeth Bernstein. It's always funny when people are rediscovering marriage, but they won't call it marriage. I go, well, we'll call it anything but marriage. We've seen this in the Washington Post. Christina Emba keeps writing about it. She's like, you know what? It turns out that this whole, you know, feminist revolution that said that we could have sex with whomever we wanted and this would be a substitute for having a husband and kids, maybe it turns out that that's not so great. Maybe we should do these things where we have, like committed long-term relationships with one person of the opposite sex where we have kids. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had, like, a societal name for that? It wouldn't be marriage, because as we know, marriage is basically any two people who love each other except for, you know, certain specified conditions. But what if it had another name? Like, not marriage, but like marriage. It's fun to watch it happen in real time. So Elizabeth Bernstein has a piece titled, What Do Single People Want Now? Deeper Connections, More Substance. If only you had listened to your grandparents. I won't say your parents, because probably your parents were idiots, given the nature of today's generation. But maybe your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you know, the people who used to live in the real world before the baby boomers ruined everything. It's probably your great-grandparents. According to the Wall Street Journal, Tom Summers used to date around, prioritizing looks and career status. Then the pandemic hit. Like many singles, Mr. Summers spent months of lockdown by himself. When he returned to dating, he was surprised to find his taste had changed. I realized I needed a partner of substance, said Mr. Summers, 59, who is a marketing executive. Wait, he's been doing this for 40 years? He's 59! When you read those first sentences, you're like, oh, he's probably a 25-year-old guy who's realizing that maybe he should look for someone of substance. He's 59! This is what we've done. We've created a society of 60-year-old losers who are dating around so they can screw whomever is the best. Like, what? This is what you created. Only at 59. You're 59 years old. You've wasted your life. I'm sorry to break it to you. If you're 59 years old, and you're a career single, not because of external circumstances that prevented you from getting married, but because your own ideology of dating prevented you from getting married, because you're just so entranced with your own sexual pleasures and independence, you have wasted your life. I'm sorry. You're now your comic book guy from The Simpsons. Certain decisions are better than other decisions. I know this is certain decisions are better than other decisions. Meet the post-pandemic single, who apparently in America is a 59-year-old dude with no wife and no kids. He's just discovering that maybe he should have dated for values. Just like everyone else, single people have been rethinking their priorities over the past few years. Many say they are more eager to find a partner than they were in the past, and that they're dating more deliberatively, according to the results of the latest Singles in America study conducted by researchers at the Kinsey Institute and funded by Match, the dating app. They're also adjusting to political and social issues. They're even a little less interested in looks. Researchers surveyed a national demographically representative sample of 5,000 single Americans aged 18 and older who aren't in a committed relationship. Match funds the study. Nearly three-quarters of participants say they want to find a partner who wants to marry. Roughly similar to last year, up from 58% in 2019. Oh, it turns out that wild loneliness caused by you staying in your room and the fact that you can't go out to a bar and dull your senses with alcohol, like on a regular, that drinking alone in your apartment isn't a substitute for a marriage and family. Who would have thought such a thing, except for every human being for nearly all of human history, including today, where most human beings don't believe in the Western ideal of what life ought to look like. Half of singles say they're even more eager to find a relationship this year than in the past. Not everyone is looking to pair up, of course. Some single people found they enjoyed spending time alone during the pandemic, said Bella DiPaolo, a social psychologist who studies singles. Yet most post-pandemic singles are interested in dating. They are now more deliberate. Almost three-quarters of single people say they only want to go on a first date with someone they already know they have good chemistry with, the study shows. To figure this out, they say they're spending more time on phone calls and video chats. Today, one-quarter of singles said they've had a video chat with a date before meeting up in person, up from 6% in 2019. When they do, about one-third of singles say they will wait to have sex. Surprise, men are more likely than women to say they will wait, 40% compared with 33% of women, which shows you, by the way, how we have completely turned upside-down expectations for women. And you'd expect those stats to be reversed, right? Because men generally, as a matter of all available social science data, enjoy casual sex more than women do. Just evolutionary biology suggests that this would be the case, and as it turns out, in virtually every social science study ever done, men are more interested in casual sex than women are. Women want more commitment, they want comfort level with a partner, men don't care. Women need a reason, men need a time and a place. But we've now intimidated so many people into not telling the truth on these surveys that women are like, gotta nail them on the first date. Seems like an interesting societal fact. Fewer men than women are saying it. They're looking deeper. Each year, researchers ask single people what they're looking for in a partner. The number one answer this year is someone to trust and confide in. Three traits are new to the top five since the pandemic. Singles say they are looking for partners who are comfortable with their own sexuality. I don't know what that's supposed to. What? What is that even? As opposed to partners who are uncomfortable with their own sex? Like, who's looking for a partner who's uncomfortable with their sexuality, exactly? Able to communicate their wants and needs and who are emotionally mature. Emotionally mature. Yeah. What dropped out of the top five during the pandemic? Physical attractions. People are basically like, I need a relationship and I need a relationship now. And if the person is a 7 as opposed to a 10, I guess I will just do that. Which, again, these used to be these sort of norms. Half of singles surveyed this year said they had fallen in love with someone they weren't initially attracted to, up from 39% in 2019. 60% of people say it's important for their partner to share their political beliefs. This is actually down from the all-time high of 78% in 2020. In 2016, it was 50%. Abortion is a hot topic. 78% of singles of reproductive age say the Supreme Court ruling striking down Roe v. Wade has changed their sex life. Two out of three single women will not date a partner who has opposing views on the issue. 13% of active daters said the decision made them hesitant to date. Oh, you mean people are having less sex now that they know they can't just dispose of a baby that might occur? Oh, what a tragedy. How sad for them. Mr. Summers, who is divorced, has a new dating motto, no more flakes. During the pandemic, he says he learned to enjoy his own company. That made him less afraid of being alone and more selective about whom he dates. Out are men who are handsome but shallow. In are ones who show genuine interest in him and know how to communicate. All right. Well, solid journalisming there from the Wall Street Journal. But as it turns out, pretty much everybody is looking for a partner who shares values now. So it turns out that the sad loneliness that has been created by our radical individualistic society is not good for a huge number of people. And now they are looking to sort of backfill all of the loneliness and unhappiness that they've been experiencing. Really, really good job here. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Online Black Friday sales are expected to break records, with sales projected to top $9 billion. Many stores were closed on Thanksgiving Day, but that did not stop people from shopping online. Numbers there were up 3% from last year. This year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, also a record breaker. Almost 28 million people tuned in to see the parade, the highest numbers in 5 years. It's also now NBC's highest rated show of the year. The National Dog Show followed the parade on NBC. It did well, too. It had over 11 million viewers. Kevin McCarthy is searching for 218 Republican speakership votes in the House. Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
A slimmer-than-anticipated House Republican majority and a growing number of House Republicans expressing opposition to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy are threatening to derail his bid for Speaker of the House. McCarthy won his party's nomination for Speaker this month, but needs to secure a majority of all those casting a vote for a specific candidate in a January 3rd House floor vote to officially be elected Speaker. 218 votes would be a majority. A Speaker can be elected with fewer than 218 votes if there are absences, vacancies, or some members vote present. Republicans will have around 222 seats. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Disturbing new facts emerge about the mass shooting this week at a Walmart store in Virginia. Bob Agnew has that.
Police say the gunman, Andre Bing, left behind what they're calling a death note, blaming others for mocking him and causing emotional distress. Co-workers of Bing say he was difficult and known for being hostile with employees. One survivor describes the gunman as hunting during the killings, looking for specific people, killing six co-workers before ending his own life. Police say Bing had purchased a 9mm handgun just hours before. Bob Agnew reporting.
Elon Musk says Twitter will relaunch its premium service that will offer different colored check marks to accounts next week. It's a fresh move to revamp the service. More on these stories at townhall.com.
My name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact, especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. That's PragerStore.com or click the banner on my website.
After 50 years, NASA has returned to the moon. Rich Thomason has more.
Upon its arrival, the Orion capsule with three test dummies on board whipped around the far side of the moon, passing within 80 miles. Because of a communications blackout, flight controllers in Houston did not know if the critical engine firing went well until the vessel reemerged. It's the first time a capsule has visited the moon since the Apollo program. Orion blasted off recently from Florida's Kennedy Space Center on a three-week flight. Rich Thomason reporting.
President Biden will visit Mexico in January. This according to Mexico's president. He says Biden will visit Mexico City as part of a North American leader summit previously scheduled for December. It will also include Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Some Georgia counties begin early voting tomorrow. More than 20 are set to open polling locations for the Senate runoff election. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Washington is banning the sale of communications equipment made by a pair of Chinese companies.
The move is aimed at Huawei and ZTE, restricting the use of some China-made video surveillance systems, citing an unacceptable risk to national security. The FCC has voted unanimously to adopt new rules that will block the importation or sale of certain technology products that pose security risk. It's the latest in a years-long escalation of U.S. restrictions of the Chinese technology. It began with President Donald Trump and has continued under the Biden administration. Jason Walker reporting.
Republican Arizona gubernatorial candidate Kari Lake is filing a lawsuit against Maricopa County officials, accusing them of breaking election laws and demanding they provide information about voters whose ballots were impacted by Election Day printer issues. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive understands that now's the time to get everything done on your holiday shopping list. And the last thing you need to worry about are the unexpected dents from shopping carts, door dings, and fender benders. That's why Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center offers free estimates. They can schedule a time that works best for you. And it's about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
H-J, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Earlier this year, we had the opportunity to sit down with Governor Bill Lee. He is the governor of the great state of Tennessee. It was a fascinating conversation. Take a listen. Governor Lee, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. Glad to be here.
Why don't we start off with just why Tennessee has become such a magnet. So obviously, we moved our business, the main part of our business, to Nashville, and it's been an amazing move for everybody who came with us from LA. We've, I think, tripled our business since we've come here, which is a testament to both the leadership of our business, but also to the business climate here. So what makes Tennessee different?
Well, we're really glad you came here, by the way. And you said it's been awesome for your business. I think that's the reason that we're seeing companies from all over the country decide to come to Tennessee, and people from all over the country. We're one of the most moved to states in America right now, and not by individuals and by companies. I ran a company for 25 years before I worked there, 35, 1,500 employees, mostly skilled tradespeople, but a business. And when I came into office, you know, it was very important to me that we created a business-friendly environment, so regulatory environment, tax environment, and that, and a workforce development strategy, because those are things that had mattered to me as a business guy. Those are the things that matter to business people who create jobs and opportunity. We're a really business-friendly place. What that means is opportunity for Tennesseans. People have the ability to access work that brings dignity and that brings value and that helps their family. I like to say Tennessee is a place that values opportunity and security and freedom. And those things are, you know, they're things that Americans are looking for. I think Americans right now look around the country and they see things that are worrisome. They want to be reminded that America is the greatest nation in the world. They want to see places that remind them that America hadn't lost her way. And I think when they look at Tennessee, they see that. And a whole lot of them have decided they want to be there.
Why do you think that so few politicians in so few areas of the company, of the country, seem to understand this? I mean, I came, again, from a state that has made it harder and harder and harder to do business. And this is not particularly sophisticated stuff. Like, make it easy to do business by removing useless regulation or lower the tax rate so that companies can actually reinvest their money in their employees and in growing their base. Now, this sort of stuff isn't super sophisticated, but a lot of politicians just don't get it. What do you think is the block?
You know, you said a lot of politicians. I actually think politician's kind of a key word. I guess I am one now that I've been in office, but I don't think of myself as one. I came from the outside, and I'd never been in politics, never ran for office, never really been very involved politically. Was a business guy. Was also involved in issues that were very important to me and that I think are very important to people generally. because of some work that I had done in nonprofits that really stirred my passion that ultimately led to a decision to run. But business people oftentimes are the ones who understand a business-friendly environment, and oftentimes that's not the politicians that you're talking about. Outsiders understand, and you know, people talk to me a little bit about COVID and decisions that we made in the middle of COVID, and one of the things I said was it had only been a year or two from running a business, and so I could sit there and think, what would I think as a business owner if the government told me I had to do this or do that, or I couldn't do this or couldn't do that? It was very helpful to not be very far removed from running a business where people's lives are depending on it to make decisions.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were talking about slightly before the show started was your decision to run for office in the first place, you know, having been in the business world, and how you were talking about how that wasn't an easy decision. Like there are a lot of people who grow up with this idea, I'm going to be a senator, I'm going to be president, I want to be in politics, an elected office, and who never actually hold a job. The Biden administration famously has very few people who have ever actually run a business in the administration. And, you know, I think there may be a difference in kind between people who actually go into the so-called real world before they go into politics and people who are sort of the professional political class.
Yeah. I think it is very helpful. Certainly, if you've run a business, you know about how to manage a budget. That's a big deal. For a governor, one of the most important things I should do is manage the budget, because you remember that you're managing other people's money. It's not government's money. It's not the state's money. It's the taxpayers' money that they have paid into the state, and then we turn around and spend it on their behalf. But remembering that, you know, if you're in business and you don't manage your budget, you go broke. It's pretty simple. If you're in government and you don't manage your budget, the people pay. They have to be taxed to make up for the difference, because the government's not going to go broke. So remembering that, it's really important. But, you know, it was a hard decision for me. But frankly, was at a spot in my life. I had a tragedy in my life that God used in a very powerful way to cause me to think about things that mattered, things that don't matter. I got very involved with my kids in nonprofit work, and first out of country, you know, serving the poor, and then got involved in the inner city here, in our city here. Got involved in a reentry program. Got involved in nonprofit efforts besides running my business, which was a very purposeful, meaningful job. Nonprofits that touched government in some ways, but most importantly touched people's lives. That intersection of people's lives and government and the influence it had in my experience in the private sector caused me to say, you know what, this might be worth doing. This is a valuable way to impact the lives of people, and that's how I ultimately decided to run.
I mean, being a politician is a very hard life for a couple of reasons. I mean, one is sort of the practical reason. I know a lot of people who are in politics professionally. It means a lot of travel. It means a lot of time on the road. It means a lot of conversations with people you might not necessarily like, both politically and in the donor class. I mean, it means doing a lot of stuff that normal people wouldn't necessarily want to do. And then it also means having to compromise, and it means having to actually try to reify broad ideas. The easiest thing what I say to politicians all the time is, I have an easy job. I get to say what I think for a living. I don't actually have to implement any of that stuff except inside my own business. For you, you know, you actually have to take these big ideas that you have about the world and principles that you have, and you have to somehow try to get 80% of what you want, and then you get ripped on by people like me for not getting 100% of what you want. So moving from a world where you're not used to that, where it's just running a business, being able to say what you think, involve yourself in principles you like, to the world of politics, how has that affected you and changed you, do you think?
A couple things. You know, when you're in business, you actually do have to compromise. I mean, you run your business the way you want to, but you have customers. And there's a lot of negotiation with contracts and or the way you run your business, the way you treat your customers. You don't just do whatever you want. Well, you can.
You'll be bankrupt.
That's the difference, but you won't stay in business long. So the principle of compromise and working together with people for the overall benefit, it still exists. But I think that you're right. You have to step back sometimes. You make decisions that people don't understand because you do actually understand the big picture of your own state, for example, and the politics of your state, and and you make decisions that you think are going to be ultimately in the best interest of the people. I will say that one of the things I try to do, or try not to do, frankly, is ever ultimately compromise a core principle or a core value for the sake of getting something done. I talk a lot of times about the toxic world we live in, politics and civility, and how it is that we should treat people differently in spite of the differences in the way that we see the world. You don't have to, in order to be civil, you don't have to be moderate. You don't have to compromise in a moderating way. You can be very clear in your principles and your values and what you understand to be truth and never waver from that, and yet be entirely civil and treat people in a way that recognizes that even if they view it entirely different than you do, the dignity of them as a human being is very valuable. And I think those two can exist. We don't see it a lot in public life these days, but it's possible.
I mean, I think this is one of the areas where, you know, it may be different being not only a politician, but a person who's in touch with real people. There's been this online political world, which dominates so much the media conversation, the Twitter world, the blue checks. And then there's what you actually do, which is you have to go out and talk to people and compromise and deal with people on the other side of the aisle. And because, you know, our institutions have now become, as Yuval Levin suggests, sort of platforms for becoming famous, rather than an actual institution that you're supposed to do a job within, it's led to this tremendous political polarization. You've been able to get amazing things done here in the state of Tennessee without being alienating, without having to be, you know, rhetorically insulting, without doing a lot of the things that I think people are looking for from politicians these days. Why do you think that is? That's just because you're not a very online person? Like, how does that work exactly?
I mean, I think it's who I am. I've tried to live my life, all of my life, before I ever became into politics, in a way that recognizes the dignity of people. And I love people. And every, you know, it's a faith principle. There are scriptural principles that I try to adhere to. Doesn't mean I'm a perfect guy. Doesn't mean I'm not broken and sinful and, you know, mistake-laden person. It just means that I value people and relationships and human dignity. And I can vehemently disagree with you, but I can still treat you with dignity and respect. That's kind of the way I was raised, and I decided I wanted to continue to try to operate that way. It's really hard. Like, and I don't do well at it all the time. I'm not the expert on civility. I just like thinking about it a lot. And I think our world could use a lot more of it.
So, you know, one of the areas that became very controversial during your tenure, obviously, was, you mentioned earlier, your handling of COVID. Now, there's this vast gap that opened in the country between the states that, quote-unquote, did it right. And according to the media, this would be New York and California that shut down early and stayed shut down, pushed vax mandates, pushed mask mandates, shut down the schools and all the rest. And Tennessee, which didn't get enough credit, the kind of credit it should have, for taking the line that you took, which was, we're going to try and keep everything as open as humanly possible. We'll get the vaccinations to the people who need them. But in the end, we're going to have to rely on people's ability to make good choices for themselves. Maybe you can talk about how you formulated that policy.
And part of it was the background that I had and the backdrop from being in the private sector earlier, wrestling with, gosh, am I going to shut people's businesses down? Like, walk in there and say, you have to close, even though you don't think it's in the best interest of you or your people, or that was very much on my mind every time we made decisions. Now, at the same time, you know, early on in this thing, when you had no information and people saying, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in your state might die if you don't make the right decisions, early on, we all wrestled with what in the world is coming. Is there a tsunami coming? And we have an obligation to protect folks if we can. But pretty soon, we figured out, hey, this is a lot of lack of information. We don't know what's happening here, but it looks like the best way to approach this is trust people. I am a person who kind of says people ought to decide for themselves, and you ought to decide if you want to. If you don't want to get COVID, then don't go out. but it's not because I'm going to make you stay in. The whole idea that you trust your people, you trust your businesses, you do recognize that lives are at stake here, but so are livelihoods, which equate to lives at the end of the day in many ways, the implications of wrecking livelihoods. So it was hard, and there was a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of pushback, and a lot of walk in the hall personally and just saying, gosh, are we doing the right thing here? Wrestling through with it. But at the end of the day, I decided we can trust Tennesseans more than we can trust anybody else, frankly, because they know best. I don't know best. The medical community doesn't know best. They know best for themselves. I have that philosophy about children, about education, about healthcare. People know best for themselves and should be given the freedom to make those decisions.
All righty, coming up, more with Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive understands that now's the time to get everything done on your holiday shopping list. And the last thing you need to worry about are the unexpected dents from shopping carts, door dings, and fender benders. That's why Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center offers free estimates. They can schedule a time that works best for you. And it's about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Earlier this year, we had the opportunity to sit down with Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee. It was a fantastic conversation.
Alrighty, so let's talk about how you make these decisions, because there's a push very early on from the media and actually from the White House that you got to follow the science, you know, the scientific experts, and they're the decision makers, and this shouldn't be political. And it seemed to me at the time that pretty quickly it was clear that it was political, meaning that, your job as an elected official is to balance all of the competing interests. And the only interest is not how many people get the infection. There are other competing interests, including, are you going to destroy every business in your state? Should kids go to school? What are the risk factors? What are the rewards? And pretending that these trade-offs don't exist was a very easy way of avoiding responsibility. So what was coordination with the federal government like? What sort of information were they providing? Were they being meticulous and exact? Was it kind of sloppy? How did that work?
Well, it changed. You know, at first it was one administration, then it changed to another. I will say most of the interaction initially with the Trump administration was very much, we're going to give you advice, but you need to do what you want. That really was the message. It was very clear information, and they were not shy from giving you their recommendations and their advice to the CDC and everything else. But there was a general understanding that states should decide for themselves what they should do, and I thought that was the right thing to do. I tended to say decision making at the local level as much as possible is what we ought to do, and there were reasons why we allowed local decision making to take place. For example, masks. I allowed local county mayors to make the decision about mandates for their own communities. We did not do a statewide mask mandate, but I didn't stop them from doing a mandate either. I figured the folks in that community, they're elected officials, they can decide what they want to do there. But it was tough, right? Sometimes those people at the local level make decisions that you don't think are in the best interest of the state. And there are times when you have to intervene there, but a lot of dialogue, a lot of understanding, a lot of bringing people together. I'm a convener. We work really closely with the Tennessee Hospital Association, for example, our group of hospitals, every state has them. We had an unusually good relationship there, worked really hard with, you know, municipal and county mayors with regular phone calls. I think just communicating, letting folks know, and struggling together with them was the best way forward.
So when one of the big decisions that came up for pretty much all the states when it came to COVID was what exactly to do with the schools. So in California, they shut down the schools. They shut them down incredibly hard. I mean, they shut down the private schools. They shut down everything in California. It's one of the reasons why we moved our company. We moved my family. And they were shutting down, like, the public parks. They were shutting down turnoffs off of Mulholland Drive in the apparently mistaken impression that people were going to gather en masse in 5-foot square spaces and congregate with one another and just spit on each other. But, you know, one of the big issues, obviously, was what happened with education. We were told for a couple of years by the so-called experts that kids were in severe danger, even though it was pretty clear statistically this was not so. We were told that kids had to be masked, even though kids are not good at wearing masks. We were told that none of this would have any real effect on how kids were educated, that kids not being able to see human faces for a year and a half would make no difference. And we were told that if they weren't in school, you know, they'd catch up. It would be no big deal. Tennessee kept the schools as open as humanly possible. Why don't you talk about what your school policy was and how you handled that?
So we, at first, like everybody, didn't know what was coming. We closed the schools in the spring of 2020, right? So mid-March, April, May. And then the more we looked and the more we understood and the more we watched, the more we realized that, in fact, you know, statistically, the vast number of children were not getting COVID. And those that were, it was not serious for them. Now, there are outliers to that. We all understand that. I looked at COVID hospitalizations, pediatric, in this state. I probably looked at that chart every single day. I wanted to know what was happening there and if what I was hearing was true or what statistically was really happening in our state. It became evident to me that with a little bit of work, we could keep kids safe. And so most of the school districts in our state opened for that fall and stayed open from that day forward. We had a couple of big school districts that didn't. Obviously, the statute allows for district authority to make decisions about that. I say obviously. In our state, that's how it operated. So those districts closed. But the vast majority of our schools were open. And we worked really hard to provide all of the, you know, all of the equipment and the necessary tools to keep schools safe for kids. Each district had different rules about distancing and that sort of thing, but the further we went, the more we realized, hey, this is probably not going to be a huge health issue for kids. And the alternative of shutting schools down, we knew was going to be a huge health issue. I mean, parents would tell you that, teachers would tell you that. And so we were really glad that we opened schools up.
All righty, coming up more with Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join us this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With a cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Joshua the Elf, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, December 1st through 4th.
Featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at CascadeTheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, the Reading tradition.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Earlier this year, we sat down with the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, a fascinating conversation. Here's what it sounded like.
Let's talk about the education system more broadly for a second. So there's been a big battle that's been going on nationally about what to do about public schools. Parents are suddenly waking up to the fact that a lot of school boards were run by activists. They're waking up to the fact that a lot of schools were being created for almost indoctrinative purposes by local school boards and by associations like the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association. There's been a lot of focus on ideas that folks don't like teaching of history that in ways that denigrate the United States and treat it as though it's the fonthead of all evil, teaching of sexual orientation and gender identity to children, ascientific theories and silly theories for adults even, but being crammed down on kids. Now, how do you handle questions of education? How do you think education ought to be handled?
I was a parent, and now I'm a grandparent, so I kind of think of education from a parent's perspective. I'm married to a teacher, which is a great, it's also a great perspective. You know, I was talking to Glenn Youngkin, and I think his race was the sort of national exposure to the fact that, hey, there's something really at play here that parents ought to be tuned into. Like, maybe they haven't been paying attention in some places that they should be. And it really opened up and shined a light on what's happening across America. I tend to believe that parents are the best deciders for all things about their kids. I mean, unless that parent's making a obvious harmful decision for that child. But parents are the deciders when it comes to education, where their kids should go to school, what their kids should be learning, what they should not be learning, what they should be exposed to and not exposed to. Those are all things that a parent should have the ultimate ability to decide and have transparency so they actually know what's being taught in schools. That's starting to happen around America. It's starting to happen in Tennessee. We said that teaching critical race theory, for example, is illegal. Now, we'll have to figure out how to make certain that that happens as the law passes and then the implementation of that going forward. But I'm also a person who's, in my education strategy, it's very focused on the parent's ability to make a choice for their kid. I'm a strong believer in school choice. I mentored a kid in the inner city before I ever got involved in politics. I worked in an inner city at-risk youth program. Met this kid at a lunch one day. Became intrigued by him. His mom was in prison. Didn't know his dad. And lived in a very difficult situation. I decided to spend one evening a week, every week, with that kid for 5 years. I did that. And we obviously became very close. I learned an awful lot about a lot of things. But one of them that I learned about was his education. And he was failing every subject in his school. I worked with his grandmother, who was his caretaker, to get him moved into a public charter school. And his trajectory entirely changed. And I found myself realizing that different kids have different needs, and different schools serve those needs. And a parent is the best decider for that. And we ought to give every kid choices for education if we want to have the best outcomes. That's been my guiding philosophy. Look, public schools are the number one way we educate our kids. We've invested heavily in them here. We have been smart about it. But I also believe that public charters, and we have education savings account program here, we ought to give parents choices.
Yeah, the fact that there's so many people on the other side of the aisle who don't want to do that seems somewhat shocking. And it's hard not to see it as I don't like to talk about the motives of people, but it seems hard not to see that as at least tied to the support of teachers' unions in a sort of corrupt political fashion, because it's so obvious that kids should not be locked into schools that are failing. And it's also perfectly obvious that giving those kids more options is what's going to allow them to get out of poverty. If education is the chief ladder by which people are going to move from one rung to another on the economic scale or on the success scale, then keeping them locked into these areas where the schools are bad and just throwing money at them in the apparently pervasive belief that just this is a monetary problem. I can tell you, I went to LAUSD. LAUSD is the second biggest school district in America. And they were spending, when I was going to school there, somewhere between $9,000 and $10,000 a year per student, and the results were awful. And they kept upping the amount of money that they were spending per student, and it didn't seem to matter one iota, because, again, if you just keep throwing money at the same people to do the same things, they will continue to do the same things, only more of them. So, you know, why do you think there's that opposition?
You know, you said you continue to be surprised. I really do, too. It's because, evidently, they're more interested in a system than they are in a student. Because here's the thing. For example, in our state, we have, I think, 106 public charter schools that serve about 43,000 students. 91% of those students are minority students in the most challenged economic zip codes in our state. And yet, there is serious pushback to eliminate that choice from those students. That's hard for me to believe that those minority students that choice should be taken away from them, particularly when we see the outcomes for those students better statistically as a result of those educational choices. It's a little surprising to me. It ends up reminding me that these decisions or this pushback is really not considering that child. It's something else. I don't know what it is, whatever reason they're pushing back against it. But I got into this thing about school choice because of my experience with a very low-income, disadvantaged kid and the personal change I saw in his life and my realization that we got tens of thousands of those kids in this state. The ESA program, the Education Savings Account program we put in place, same motivation behind it. Why should the low-income minority children in our schools, districts, in our toughest environments, why should they be the only ones that do not have access to a school of their choice? The Education Savings Account gives them that access. That money that is taxpayer dollar follows that kid to the school of their choice. If you really care about a kid and you don't care about the status quo or the way it's always been done or the system, you have to consider that as an option. And look, at the same time, we just put $1 billion, and for our state, that's a statistically significant increase, $1 billion increase in our public school system going forward, because they're incredibly important. We need to fund traditional schools as well.
Well, speaking of kids, one of the issues that obviously has come up a lot here at Daily Wire, our own Matt Walsh has been leading the charge in trying to prevent the attempts to use what I call sex-denying healthcare on children. It's called more frequently, euphemistically, gender-affirming healthcare with children, which ranges from everything from socially affirming the idea that a boy can be a girl to hormone cross-sex hormone treatments, puberty blockers that may have permanent effects for kids, all the way on up to double mastectomies, phalloplasties, vaginoplasties for minors. Matt uncovered, along with some other reporters, what was going on at Vanderbilt Medical Center, where some of this stuff was being done to minors, 16, 17-year-old kids. What is your opinion on what the state's involvement should be in preventing this sort of mutilation of kids?
Yeah. Commend Matt for his work, and I told him so. Whenever we can expose and make transparent things that are going on that people ought to know about, that's a good thing. It's sad mostly for me. I mean, as a dad, a grandfather, or someone who watches kids navigate their way through the really hard years of 12, 13, 14, 15, I mean, those are really hard years for children of all types, for everybody trying to figure out their way. And it's really sad to me that these life-altering decisions frankly, by adults who are making that decision on behalf of that child, because the child's not capable of making those life-altering decisions for themselves. We all know that. It's sad. It shouldn't happen. It's wrong on every level. I think you'll see it clearly addressed legislatively in this state. We will address it here, but we think that it'll probably be addressed across the country in a greater way. I think most, I certainly know most Tennesseans, I think most Americans realize that this shouldn't be happening for kids, and it's not going to happen here.
Now, when did you first become aware of these sorts of problems arising in a state like Tennessee? I mean, it must have been shocking because Tennessee is a pretty conservative state.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times you might hear about something or you think you know about something, but you think it's so small or it's very, I don't know, it's marginalized or it's complicated and you don't know the facts. And then as you look closer and closer and the facts become real and you realize, hey, this is a problem. This is something that most people don't really imagine is happening. And then they figure out what's happening. They go, you know, we really just ought to thoughtfully stop it.
Yeah, and when you look at the education system as well, again, this ties back into sort of the educational standards, because the fact is that a lot of these schools are including books on the library shelves that are wildly inappropriate for children, or you have teachers in the classroom who are teaching gender theories that are completely at odds with both science and decency. What sort of state pressure should be exerted on the schools?
Yeah, and most importantly, at odds with parents. I mean, so I've got a book delivered to my office from a particular elementary school library in Tennessee, and I sat there and read the book, and it was shocking to me. Like, this really is in a library, and you hear about this, or you begin to hear about this sort of thing, and then you find out that it actually is really there. And there's a part of me that says, gosh, if the parents in that county all read this book and knew that their kid in third grade, second grade, whatever, could read it, there'd be a revolt about that. That book would not be in that library. So we ought to make a law that says, you know, it's unfortunate we have to, right? It's unfortunate that the stuff is even there, but there it is in some rural county in Tennessee. So that what we should do is make a law that makes it possible and actually allowable for parents to have a transparent look at every book. There's a process. If you don't like a book, you follow a process that goes through, you know, a process, an appropriate process to remove it or have it not removed. There are times we just sit back and go, gosh, it's a shame we have to engage in this stuff. And so oftentimes, you know, the left says we're attacking this or attacking that. What we really are doing, at least that's the way I view this, is we're just protecting and preserving and this quality of life that we've sometimes taken for granted, I think, in education. We took for granted that our kids were being taught fundamental educational academic subjects. We just took for granted that that's what teachers would be doing and that's what school systems would be doing. And then all of a sudden you find out, you know what, they're doing something else that hasn't been done before. And we probably ought to protect these kids and make sure that they're that we're kind of upholding what has always been true. We're not attacking it. We're just protecting it.
Already coming up more with Governor Bill Lee. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they've just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, open 2:30 to 6 p.m. at 2051 Hilltop, Suite A3, offers a unique halo therapy experience to immerse yourself in salt. It can help with stress, anxiety, athletic performance, respiratory issues, snoring, long-haul COVID, help restore taste and smell. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave offers take-home salt packs for bloating, inflammation, and anxiety, salt lamps with color therapy, and gift certificates. Book now, 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Issued by the American Lung Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Earlier this year, we sat down with the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, a fascinating conversation. Here's what it sounded like.
Okay, so you're a governor of a major state. The president of the United States is not of your party. He has made clear repeatedly that he gets very angry at various governors who refuse to do his bidding on a wide variety of issues, ranging from things like banning sex-denying health care to school issues of schooling to COVID. How do you deal with a White House that is, you know, routinely pretty brusque about how it treats governors?
Yeah. I remember watching one of the press briefings when COVID was still active, and I don't even remember exactly what the issue was about. It had to do with mandates, I think, vaccine mandates. And the president said to those governors who don't want to do this, we will move them out of the way. And I remember thinking, he's talking to me. I don't think that's the right thing for Tennesseans. I don't think Tennesseans want that. I don't think that's what we're going to do here. And yet, kind of he's saying, I'm going to push the governor aside and mandate this thing anyway. That was really the first time I'd seen that happen. And I found myself thinking, you know, that's not the way it works in this country. Like, we are, there is a 10th Amendment, and there are rights, and states have the authority to make decisions about in the best interest of their people. And that's how it works. And, you know, if the people of that state don't like it, then they get elected officials that operate the way they want them to. And if they really don't like it and their elected officials aren't, well, then they go to another state where it's functioning the way they would like it to function. We are a collection of states that have an enormous amount of power, most of which is delegated to the states. And so you realize that you're dealing with a federal government that doesn't see it the same way that you do. And so you push back. And you push back on a regular basis, whether it's the issues you've brought up, what schools, children, healthcare, COVID, and you've seen states collectively come together, attorneys general of states, governors. I'm very engaged in Republican Governors Association. I'm on the executive committee. I actually chaired the public policy committee of that group, which really means that we convene governors around policy and around how Republican governors will respond to policy, particularly as it comes from the federal government, and how it impacts individual states. There's a lot of power in the collective force of, there are 28 Republican governors right now. There might be 31 or 32 in a few weeks. There's a lot of opportunity to push back on the federal government when they're overreaching, which they've done in profound ways in the last 2 years. That's been our strategy, push back.
No, well, this is one of the areas where I really am hopeful, and maybe it's because I moved from a blue state to a red state, and now my company's located in another red state. But, you know, my hope for the country was, I would say, pretty dim when I was living in California, because the state government there tended to mirror whatever the priorities of the federal government were at the time. But living in a state that is capable of disagreeing with the federal government and having a business in a state that disagrees with the federal government, it seems to me that the real hope for the country going forward is not going to be top-down diktats from the federal government, no matter who's in charge of the federal government, that the real hope may, in fact, lie with the states. You know, we spend an enormous amount of time in politics focusing on the national level, on the Senate and the House and the President. We'll talk about that in a second. But it seems to me that the real hope for the preservation of the country is going to lie in the laboratories of democracy that exist in these different places. And you can see what the results are in these places, which is why, as you mentioned at the top of the show, you're seeing effectively mass migration to this entire region of the country. I mean, the only area of the country that's seen demographic growth in terms of population growth over the course of the last 10 years has been the South in the United States. It's nowhere else. I mean, the Northeast is emptying out. You're seeing the West empty out back toward the Midwest and toward the South. And that's because different models of governance matter.
And I think it became most evident in the last 2 or 3 years, right? People all across the country, frankly, have seen clearly it matters who governs, particularly in the state house.
One of the things that you're starting to see is even some independents many independents, but even some people on the left are beginning to look at the model of democratic governance in these states, and they're starting to get nervous. I mean, again, New York is a great example of this, where people are upset about crime, and people are upset about taxation, and people are upset about a wide variety of issues, including COVID vax mandates and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And the governor of the state is going in debate and basically saying, I don't even know why you're worried about any of this. She infamously said to Lee Zeldin, I don't know why you're so worried about crime. Meanwhile, people are getting pushed in front of subways in New York City. You're seeing it in cities also. I mean, Los Angeles, where I used to live, where our company used to be located. Cenk Uygur, who is a far-left guy on the Young Turks, he said, I don't understand why there are homeless people everywhere and there's crime everywhere. And he's endorsing the former Republican, Rick Caruso, in that race. It seems like the left has pushed so far so fast that now the backlash is coming.
Yeah, and there's another thing. Besides the issues of crime, which are incredibly important, but economics matter to people, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that, you know, what your back pocket, your family's bank account, your income. They look at a state like Tennessee, and here's some facts that are interesting, and they're not just for Tennessee. They're typically in conservatively fiscally managed states. We are the lowest tax per capita state in America. That hits your back pocket. Every person that lives in this state, I tell everywhere I go, hey, if you're a citizen of Tennessee, as a percentage of your personal income, you have the lowest tax rate in the country of all 50 states. We have the lowest debt per capita of any state in America. We have right now the highest performing economy of all 50 states. Tennessee's economy is the best in the country at the moment. The lowest debt per capita, the lowest tax per capita, and we have surpluses that we are spending on things like infrastructure and education, and we're spending our surplus dollars wisely into the things that matter to Tennesseans: broadband expansion, road building, conservative fiscal policy works, and it powerfully impacts people's personal finances, and people move for that alone. I mean, you can talk about all kind of social issues of this or that, but when your tax rates are going to be lower and people that come from California to Tennessee get a big raise, and people that come from any state with an income tax that comes to a state like Tennessee that has zero income tax, they get a big raise. So the economics of fiscally conservatively managed states, very powerful.
I'm Ben Shapiro. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Republican Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake is filing a lawsuit against Maricopa County officials, accusing them of breaking election laws and demanding they provide information about voters whose ballots were impacted by Election Day printer issues. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is considering a challenge to Rona McDaniel as head of the Republican National Committee.
Lindell, a staunch supporter of former President Trump, said on his Frank Speech TV platform, quote, "One of the things I will tell you, we will never ever stop to get rid of these machines and make this the best elections in world history in our country. We need someone, everybody, and I'll step into that, if God willing." Lindell asked viewers to email him if they support him running for the position, adding that he wants to hear anything negative about it, too. He also told the Huffington Post in an interview that he plans to make an announcement on Monday about whether he will run. Bernie Bennett reporting.
The White House is sending mixed signals concerning negotiations to prevent a nationwide rail strike. Earlier this week, a spokesperson said President Biden was an active participant in talks, but yesterday, the president told reporters he was not directly engaged. Western officials are scrambling to help Ukrainians stay warm.
Ukrainians are struggling to stay warm already, as a Russian onslaught has cut off energy and electricity supplies in much of the country. U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Bridget Brink said Russia's latest onslaught on the capital is inadmissible.
We just faced here, and me and everyone who is here in Kyiv, some 100 missiles being sent by Russia to try to cripple Ukraine's energy.
France's foreign minister said France is sending 100 high-powered generators to Ukraine to help people get through the coming months. On a visit to Kyiv, British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly said a $60 million air defense package will help Ukraine to defend itself from further Russian attacks. I'm Karen Chamas.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
My name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Introducing Vinia, a miracle superfood from the Holy Land. Enjoy the health benefits of a bottle of red wine minus the alcohol, sugar, and calories. A clinical trial demonstrated that Vinia significantly increased dilation of arteries, which enhances blood flow and delivery of oxygen to your body, improving physical energy and mental alertness. Take a little wine for your health's sake with Vinia. Order your Vinia today and get 10% off using Salem10 at vinia.com/salem or call 800-450-8503. Vinia, better blood flow, better life.
Tragedy in a bitterly cold national park. Jason Walker has more.
A woman died and her husband rescued and treated for hypothermia after they were caught in extreme cold weather while hiking in Utah's Zion National Park. Authorities say the couple, on a permitted 16-mile hike through an area known as the Narrows on Tuesday and Wednesday, the park's rescue team responded Wednesday morning, found the man on a trail being helped by others. He was transported to a hospital. Jason Walker reporting.
SpaceX announces the launch of Starlink in Alaska, bringing Alaskans in rural areas access to high-speed Internet. American households continue to battle higher prices. October numbers show the average household spending $433 more a month to buy the same stuff it did a year ago. Consumer prices jumped by 7.7% from the year before. News and analysis at townhall.com. Online Black Friday sales expected to break records with sales projected to top $9 billion. This year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade breaking records, too.
almost 28 million tuned in to see the parade, the highest numbers in 5 years. The dog show that followed had 11 million viewers. DVDs in the mail may be going away.
Netflix's trailblazing DVD-by-mail rental service has been relegated as a relic in the age of video streaming. The service that once shipped more than 5 billion discs across the U.S. may not be around much longer. Its customer base has dwindled to an estimated 1.5 million subscribers from more than 11 million in 2011 when Netflix spun it off from its video streaming business. Co-CEO Reed Hastings has previously suggested it could close in 2020. John Scott reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's Black Friday. We're going to go through the best moments of the year, but first...
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
There's a story that has emerged in Canada over the course of the last several months, really over the course of the last year since 2021 in Canada, and it really speaks to the complete destruction of the Western ethic. It speaks to how a belief system about life and natural law and right and wrong has completely collapsed in the face of radical individualistic autonomy, the idea that you are free to dispose of your own body, your own life, in any way that you see fit, or at least you should be, that the thing that makes you truly free is there being no boundaries, no restrictions on your activity whatsoever. Not liberty or ordered liberty, but libertinism. You should be able to do whatever it is you want up to and including disposing of your own life. Now, it's always been controversial in the West as to whether there should be a law regarding suicide. Should it be illegal for you to commit suicide? Now, it seems like a silly question because obviously if you make it illegal, it's not like, well, you know, I'm killing myself. Now I'm really afraid of going to jail. But the idea is that society does have a stake in you preserving your life. Society should not be facilitating your death. And this particularly comes up in the realm of assisted suicide and euthanasia. In 2021, there's a Canadian law on assisted suicide that was passed, and it contained a provision that would allow doctors to provide assisted suicide to the psychiatrically ill starting in 2022. This is according to City Journal circa 2022, May 23rd, 2022, in an article by Theodore Dalrymple. He says, given that severe psychiatric disorder tends to cloud the judgment of those who suffer from it, one wonders who will benefit most from this law if passed. Certainly, it might remove from society people who are often difficult, unproductive, and expensive for others. They might be encouraged to shuffle off this mortal coil as a service to their relatives or even to their country. The distinction between the voluntary and the compulsory might become blurred. The law is a logical extension of the right to a dignified death procured by others, that is, a mode and time of death of the person's choosing with the aid of doctors and nurses. Originally, the right was conceded to those already dying. But why should the dying have all the best deaths? Either a man has a right to dispose of himself or he doesn't. Whether he happens to be dying, as in a sense we all are anyway, is relevant. If a man has the right to kill himself, it's only humane to give him the opportunity to do so in comfort, surrounded by his loved ones, with soft music playing, free of the messy outcomes so often associated with unassisted suicide. What this comes down to, and this is a really deep question in sort of Western ethics really since the rise of the Enlightenment, is what are rights? What is liberty? Now, there are people who insist that liberty has inherent value, right? This is really a question of inherent versus instrumental value. There are certain things in life that have inherent value, and there are certain things in life that have instrumental value. So, for example, friendship, Aristotle would say, is something that has inherent value, right? You don't need friends in order to accomplish X. Having the friend is the thing that is valuable. having a relationship with your wife, having a relationship with your kids. These are things of inherent and final value. And then there are things that are instrumentally valuable, like, for example, having money. Having money is a wonderful thing, but having a big number in the bank doesn't really do anything for you. It's what you can do with the money that makes it valuable. It is instrumentally valuable. So the question about liberty is whether liberty is itself inherently value or instrumentally valuable. In other words, you having the ability to choose across a wide variety of options, is that the thing that is good? Or is it good because you now have the ability to choose among a wide variety of good options? Does liberty make bad options good because you have the possibility of choosing them? And this is, as I say, a very broad Enlightenment question. John Stuart Mill in On Liberty would probably argue that liberty has inherent value, that the ability to choose is what makes us human, and that is the thing that has actual real value. And then you have philosophers who are sort of more traditionally minded, and some who are actually not of the right, people like Joseph Raz, famous Israeli philosopher, who would suggest liberty does not have inherent value. Liberty has instrumental value. In other words, liberty is designed to allow you to choose between mutually morally okay options. And liberty does not make a bad option good. And what Joseph Raz argues in his book about liberty is that if I'm forced to kill the person next to me, there's a threat to my child, and the idea is someone's going to shoot my child unless I shoot the guy next to me. Is that more or less blameworthy? Is that more or less moral than me just choosing to shoot the person next to me? So the idea is that me under arrest shooting somebody is significantly less morally blameworthy than me just choosing to shoot someone. In other words, my liberty did not make the decision better. It did not. The liberty itself was not inherently good. The addition of liberty to a bad action did not make the action better. It actually made it significantly worse because I had the liberty to choose otherwise. What this suggests is that liberty is not actually of inherent value. It's instrumentally good. Liberty is good because you can choose between a bunch of various options, all of which are decent or good. But the minute you can choose a really, really bad option, suddenly liberty loses its value. In fact, liberty becomes morally blameworthy. You using liberty to do a bad thing makes you a worse person than you using liberty to do a good thing, or you being under duress to do a bad thing. Okay, this all seems very abstract, but when it comes to assisted suicide, it becomes a lot less abstract. In other words, do you have the right to kill yourself? Do you have the right to have somebody else kill you? And so, in the liberty is of inherent value camp, the idea would be sure. I mean, that is the core of who you are, the essence of what you are. This would be maybe the Isaiah Berlin ideal of liberty. Sure, why not? Absolutely. That is what makes you you, is your ability to choose whatever it is that you want to do. And then in the liberty is of instrumental value camp, you'd say, well, yes, but you choosing to die is a bad decision for you, for society, for everyone. And it says something about a society that allows people to choose to die, especially with the assistance of others. That society does not value human life, and you're suddenly in a really ugly area where liberty is valued more highly than life. Now, normally, you know, we are guaranteed in the United States life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And normally, life and liberty aren't really seen as coming into conflict because, after all, who would choose to die, right? Life and liberty, if you have liberty, you choose to live, right? This is sort of the basic philosophical view of Thomas Hobbes, that self-preservation is the main motivation at the root of human behavior. But what happens when you believe that you should be able to dispose of your body, you should be able to do whatever you want at any time, up to and including death? And that comes into conflict with the value of life in a society. Well, the answer is what we're about to see in Canada. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word for our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Now, the truth is that in Canada, some of the assisted suicide restrictions that they have, they like to pretend that it's about individual autonomy. It's not totally about individual autonomy because there's still rules on assisted suicide in Canada. In other words, if you're a person who wants to have an assisted suicide, you're perfectly healthy, you're adjudicated as perfectly healthy, and you just want to kill yourself. In Canada, presumably the answer would be no. or you actually have to have a doctor's note, which means that it's really not about autonomy because the society is still deciding when you can and cannot kill yourself, and there's still restrictions as to what age or under what conditions. Okay, so even in Canada, they like to pretend that radical liberty is the solution. Liberty is of inherent value, not instrumental value. And so you should be able to pick. Even Canada doesn't really believe that. In the same way that the left routinely argues love is love with regard to marriage, but they don't actually believe all forms of love are created equal, because even the left believes that, for example, a boy shouldn't marry his brother. So the slogan of radical individual autonomy, up to and including assisted suicide, that's not correct either. It's just that Canada has decided certain lives are not worth living. Canada has agreed that certain conditions make it okay within the realm of moral decisions to kill yourself. And we're not talking about just restricted to a woman who has terminal cancer and she's going to die in 2 weeks in excruciating pain, or she's going to be euthanized by a doctor. The reality, by the way, is that in most situations in which you have a terminal cancer patient in excruciating pain, they end up being opiated into death, generally speaking anyway. And these very harsh language, but it happens to be the reality. There are certain circumstances where obviously there's a very sympathetic case that can be made for the idea that people want to die because they're going to die in 3 days anyway, and they're in excruciating pain, and people die in very ugly ways. Death is a very, very ugly thing, particularly from medical causes, as opposed to, you know, sort of suddenly. I mean, like gradual medical causes as opposed to suddenly. But what Canada is doing is something different. They're now broadening the scope of how suicide should apply. And this is really dangerous stuff, because this is Western society deciding that life under most circumstances is not worth living, that there are just too many circumstances which it's okay for people to take their own lives. In fact, it's morally praiseworthy for society to encourage the taking of life. And this results in what is a horrifying dystopian story straight out of Soylent Green by Rupa Subramania over at Barry Weiss's Substack over at Common Sense. And it's called Scheduled to Die, The Rise of Canada's Assisted Suicide Program. Quote, on September 7th, Margaret Marcilla called Joshua Tepper, the doctor who planned to kill her son. Marcilla is 46. She lives outside Toronto with her husband and daughter, a nursing student. She had known that her 23-year-old son, Keanu Vafayan, was depressed. He was diabetic, he had lost vision in one eye, he didn't have a job or girlfriend or much of a future, and Marcilla asked her daughter to log on to Keanu's account. Keanu had given his sister access so she could help him with his email. He never shared anything with his mother, what he was thinking, where he was going, and Marcilla was scared. That was when Marcilla learned that Keanu had applied and in late July been approved for medical assistance in dying, a.k.a. MAID, a.k.a. assisted suicide. His death was scheduled for September 22nd. In a September 7th email from Tepper, the doctor, to Keanu and Tekla Hendrickson, the executive director of MAID House, a Toronto facility where Keanu's death would take place, Tepper mapped out the schedule. Hi, he emailed. I'm confirming the following timing. Please arrive at 8:30 a.m. I will ask the nurse at 8:45 a.m., and I will start the procedure at around 9 a.m. Procedure will be completed a few minutes after it starts. The procedure entailed administering two drugs. First, a coma-inducing agent, then a neuromuscular blocker that would stop Keanu's breathing. He would be dead in 5 to 10 minutes. Apparently, Keanu wanted to bring a dog with him. In an email to him that same day, Hendrickson said, quote, dogs are welcome in the space as long as there is someone there who will be responsible for them during the time at MAID House. Marcilla was terrified. She had tried to do everything for her son, but it had been rough for him. She and his dad had gotten divorced when Keanu was still a kid. On his 16th birthday, she'd given him a BMW. When he was 17, he'd been in a bad car accident. He wasn't up to college. He smoked a ton of weed, which, by the way, again, this is sort of a side note in the piece, but to pretend that weed addiction has nothing to do with depression or suicidal ideation is really silly and contra the data. He'd lived with his dad, then with his mom, and now with her sister, Keanu's aunt. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he was unhappy. Going blind in his left eye this past April was the tipping point. The day after she discovered the email, Marcilla called Tepper. She pretended to be a MAID applicant. She called herself Joanne and said, quote, she wanted to go through the whole process in general from A to Z before the Christmas holidays, if you know what I mean. Tepper indicated he understood. Tepper, sounding matter-of-fact, ran through the list of requirements. You have to be over 18. You have to have an Ontario health insurance plan. You have to have suffering that cannot be remediated or treated in some way that's acceptable to you. And that's the wiggle word, right? Acceptable to you. Because the truth is, most people under a doctor's care, most people go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, have periods in which they believe that the care they are receiving is not acceptable to them. This happens all the time. Again, I have mentally ill relatives. The notion that you are constantly and consistently feeling success with your psychiatrist or psychologist is just not true. Very often people go through spates where they feel like things are working, and they go through areas where they feel like things are not working. So it's very easy to fulfill that standard, suffering that cannot be remediated or treated in some way that's acceptable to you. In fact, one of the signs of depression when you see people who are depressed is they feel stuck. They feel as though they're stuck in time, that moment is going to last forever. This is not a transient feeling. This is a permanent feeling. So depression and suicidal ideation being very linked, again, not very hard to basically walk into any of these clinics in Canada and just say, My suffering can't be remediated or treated in a way that's acceptable to me. I'm stuck right here, right now, in my depression. Marcilla, who recorded the conversation and shared the 5.5-minute recording with Common Sense, told Tepper she was diabetic and blind, more or less her son's condition. Tepper said he'd had a lot of patients similar to you. Then the doctor said, quote, if you wanted, I could do a formal assessment with you. Marcilla asked if she should come in. Tepper replied, we do them remotely, often by video of some type, WhatsApp, Zoom, FaceTime, something like that. A few minutes later, Marcilla hung up. She had just over 2 weeks to stop her son from dying. Says this columnist for Barry Weiss's Substack, when we think of assisted suicide or euthanasia, we imagine a limited number of elderly people with late-stage cancer or advanced ALS in severe pain. The argument for helping them die is clear. Death is imminent. Why should they be forced to suffer? In 2015, Canada's Supreme Court ruled that assisted suicide was constitutional. Now, again, one of the things that happened in the United States is that euthanasia is legal in certain places in the United States. But the question as to whether there is a constitutional right to assisted suicide has never been adjudicated at the Supreme Court level, right? That you should strike down all bans on assisted suicide. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word for our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire. Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, more on the problem of assisted suicide in the West and what it means for the West more broadly speaking. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Why do you need an updated COVID-19 booster? Because your risk of getting very sick goes up with age, and boosters can help lower the chance of severe outcomes. Visit the Wintu Cultural Tribal Center at 4755 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 noon until 6:30 p.m., keeping your immunity strong. This community clinic is brought to you by the California Department of Public Health and MyTurn.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Be required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's Black Friday. We're going through some of my favorite moments of the year. So we're going through a fascinating piece at Barry Weiss's Substack all about assisted suicide in Canada. It is an indicator of a dying civilization. In 2015, Canada's Supreme Court ruled assisted suicide was constitutional. In June 2016, Parliament passed Bill C-14, otherwise known as the Medical Assistance in Dying Act, made was now the law of the land. Anyone who could show their death was reasonably foreseeable was eligible. By the way, everyone's death is reasonably foreseeable, is it not? That's literally the predicate to every life insurance ad we do on this program. Like, everyone is going to die. Hate to break it to you, that's the reality. In this respect, Canada was hardly alone. The Netherlands, Switzerland, Belgium, Spain, Australia, and New Zealand, among others, allow assisted suicide. So do 10 states in the United States. In 2017, the first full year in which MAID, which is administered by provincial governments, was in operation, 2,838 people opted for assisted suicide, according to a government report. By 2021, within 4 years, the figure had jumped to 10,064. That accounted for more than 3% of all death in Canada the entire year. So these numbers are skyrocketing. There have been a total of almost 32,000 assisted suicide deaths in Canada. A large majority of those people were 65 to 80 when they died. In 2017, only 34 MAID deaths were in the 18 to 45-year-old category. In 2018, that figure rose to at least 49. In 2019, it was 103. In 2020, 118. And in 2021, 139. Today, thousands of people who had lived for many years are applying successfully to kill themselves. Indeed, in some Canadian provinces, nearly 5% of all deaths are assisted suicide. In 2021, the province of Quebec reported that 4.7% of deaths in the province were due to MAID. In British Columbia, the number was 4.8%. Progressive Vancouver Island is unofficially known as the assisted death capital of the world, according to doctors. Why the dramatic increase? Well, over the past few years, doctors have taken an increasingly liberal view when it comes to defining reasonably foreseeable death. Then last year, the government amended the original legislation, stating that one could apply for this program even if one's death were not reasonably foreseeable. The second track of applicants simply had to show they had a condition that was intolerable to them and could not be relieved under conditions they consider acceptable. In 2023, the numbers are almost certain to rise. Next March, the government is scheduled to expand the pool of eligible suicide seekers to include the mentally ill and mature minors. Okay, this is totally insane. And it comes, again, of a broader worldview, which suggests radical individual autonomy is, in and of itself, an inherent good. It is not an inherent good. The mentally ill people are not capable of making good decisions for themselves, which is generally why they have people around them who care for them, who try to help them. And you're talking about mature minors, you're talking about 16, 17-year-old kids who, by the way, are going to be plagued by mental health issues because a lot of teen suicidal ideation and depression is linked to age. It is linked to that age where you have hormones racing through. You don't know what to do with them. You don't have social structures around you. You have a broken family structure. You have mental issues that are just starting to crop up. And the solution in Canada, apparently, is to make suicide available. According to Canada's Department of Justice, parents are generally entitled to make treatment decisions on their children's behalf. The mature minor doctrine, however, allows children deemed sufficiently mature to make their own treatment decisions. The federal government does not define mature. It does not specify who determines whether one is mature. It's not like you have to go to a court and a court says, oh, you're a mature minor. Basically, it's self-assessed. The doctrine also varies from one province to another. Dr. Dawn Davies, a palliative care physician who supported MAID when it was first conceived, said she had tons of worries about where this might lead. By the way, if you're talking about the worries about profitability, that's a very real worry. If you're a doctor who makes their living doing assisted suicides, well, what are you going to do? You're going to broaden the spectrum of available conditions that allow for assisted suicide. Pretty clearly, if you make your living killing kids, then a 17-year-old comes to you and says, listen, I'm a mature minor. I'm really, really depressed. I'd like to make an appointment. If that's how you make your money, now, capitalism does not discriminate between good economic behavior, morally speaking, and bad economic behavior, morally speaking. Capitalism will sell you pornography, and it will sell you votive candles. It doesn't matter. And that happens to be the case if you are selling death, which is why assisted suicide is a very different thing even than euthanasia, the sort of right to commit suicide under medical care. Assisted suicide is actually a step beyond that. Dr. Non Davies could imagine kids with personality disorders or other mental health issues saying they wanted to die. Some of them will mean it, some of them won't. We won't necessarily be able to discern who is who. And according to this article in Common Sense, Barry Weiss's Substack, Hugh Scher, an attorney advising Margaret Marcella, told me, quote, while other countries have explored extending assisted suicide to minors, those governments have insisted on substantial safeguards, including parental notification and consent, which, again, is totally crazy. By the way, like, if you're a parent and you consent to your 17-year-old committing suicide, who's to say that you're a good... Like, no one should be able to consent to anyone else's death, and the reality is you should not be able to consent in your own death, barring certain extraordinary circumstances and... From a pure pro-life point of view, you should not be able to consent in your own death other than if you are talking about the kind of palliative care that we see routinely in hospitals that are designed to minimize pain, not to cause death. Coming up, more of the best moments from The Ben Shapiro Show. We will be right back.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
November is National Gratitude Month, a time to celebrate and give thanks. The folks at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive want to thank you, their customers, for being the most important part of their business. Whether you need a new paint job or repair, Mako has you covered. Thanking you this holiday season. Michelle, Jerry, and the team at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Mako for your free estimate at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights. Taking place November 18th through January 8th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Redding Garden of Lights at Turtle Bay, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, WeThePeopleRadio.us. What shall we do
about them? It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
For all of you who have served us, let us serve you. Veterans, police, firefighters, EMTs, and your family, please come join us on December 3rd for a servicemen's feast from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall located at 3210 Center Street. Street, Anderson, California. This is a free holiday lunch with all the fixings for you. Again, it's on December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall at 3210 Center Street, Anderson, California. Presented by Missing in America Project. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Dynamite.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Arthur Brooks. He's the William Henry Bloomberg Professor of Practice of Public Leadership at Harvard Kennedy School, Professor of Management Practice at the Harvard Business School. He is also over at American Enterprise Institute. Arthur, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. So you have a great piece over at The Atlantic titled Americans Pursuing Happiness in the Wrong Places. And it's all about the fact that, you know, essentially we've been investing our time and our effort in all the wrong places. So where would be the right places for us to invest ourselves, especially going into the holiday season? It's time for a lot of people to recalibrate.
Yeah, you know, this is what I teach at Harvard. Believe it or not, I teach the Science of Happiness course at the Harvard Business School, which is a very oversubscribed class. I mean, I realize that supply chain management sounds more interesting, but happiness turns out to be what people want. And one of the things that I tell them is that the happiest people, they all have a set of habits in common. Kind of your happiness 401k plan. And the world doesn't tell you to do this. The world tells you money, power, pleasure, fame. But the right four are faith, family, friends, and work that serves other people. And that's exactly what our society has been pushing Americans away from. And that's the reason our happiness is in decline.
So one of the things that you point out in this article is that there are essentially a bunch of institutions that have been falling apart in the United States, and people's happiness has been declining because of that failure, that as people fail to affiliate with these institutions, happiness has been declining. You mentioned religious affiliation, you mentioned marriage, you mentioned friendship, and you mentioned workforce. And, I mean, each one of these, let's take these in turn, because it is obvious that this has a serious effect on public discourse. And if you mention this sort of stuff, by the way, you become very unpopular very quickly, because we have decided to sort of ingest and then throw out to the world this idea that what Western member, being a citizen of the West, really is about is atomistic individualism that rejects literally all of these things that we're talking about right now. So let's start with religious affiliation, which has become increasingly unpopular in the West. It seems as though we're on a glide path to complete irreligion in the same way that Europe is an irreligious continent. Is that sort of the trend?
Well, that's what it looks like. I don't actually think it's quite that dire. And the reason is because we tend to wax and wane in religious affiliation in the United States. And I think we're due for a great new spiritual enlightenment, some of it through traditional religious affiliation, some of it through other methods. But the point is that having a serious understanding of your life philosophy, your faith, your spirituality. You and I are traditionally religious people. You're Jewish, I'm Catholic, and we practice it very seriously. But anybody who actually gets a zoom out on the boring day-to-day existence, the tedium of my life, my work, my money, it's so terrible. And we get enlightenments of that from time to time. And generally speaking, that's through traditional religious affiliation. So it's bad right now. We're losing a percentage point of people who are religious or spiritual every single year. But I believe that, and good, people who are like you and me, who are traditionally religious, we got to get after it and start bringing people the beauty, the joy that actually comes from understanding there's something bigger than us.
Now, Arthur, I think that one of the big things here in this particular segment of what you're talking about that's truly troubling is how many religious institutions have decided to essentially, you know, what C.S. Lewis would call moderate their view of religion, that religion is sort of an adjunct to life. It's not a core part of life. It doesn't really have any eternal truths to teach. It's sort of a place where you get together. At the very least, you have to take the values of modernity and inject the values of modernity into traditional religion, which leads people to ask a pretty obvious question. If you're injecting the values of modernity into religion, why do you need the values of religion at all? Why not just use the values of modernity?
No, it's true. And this is the same thing that we find actually from the worst parents. You know, they want to get closer to their kids, and their kids are pushing away and being really rebellious. And so they say that's okay, and they start chasing their kids into, you know, the heterodoxy, into the chaos that actually is adolescent life. And later on, kids will always say, the thing I hated the most is when my parents, like, didn't lay down the rules anymore. And the same thing is true for any institution that sets the boundaries. We push against it. That's normal. That's how humans behave. But we want to know that there actually are boundaries. There are rules. There is right and wrong. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you which religion. I'm not even going to tell you you shouldn't study the Stoic philosophers instead. What I'm going to say is there are things that work better than other things, and we need to feel the discomfort of saying that that is actually constricting my behavior.
So, Arthur, the other thing that you talk about in your piece, one of the four things that we're talking about is marriage rates. So, again, another thing that's unpopular to talk about is the fact that marriage has been completely redefined and has fallen apart in the United States. Marriage rates have fallen, as you say, 38% since 2000. If you go back to 1950, it's fallen a lot more than that. The marriage rates started to decline really in the United States in about the mid-1980s with the complete win of no-fault divorce in the United States. Childbearing has also fallen dramatically since 1990. We are not even close to replacement rates, and it is likely to fall still further as more and more people decide that they're going to remain single over the course of their life. Each succeeding generation is marrying later and less than the preceding generation in the United States right now. Number one, why has that happened? And number two, is there anything that can be done to revitalize that in an age when marriage has basically been redefined as cohabitation, romantic partnership, but having nothing to do with the actual propagation of a family unit?
Yeah, no, the one thing to keep in mind, Ben, which is really interesting too, over the past 15 years, that cohabitation has fallen too. So what we really have here is not a marriage crisis, although we have that. We have a love crisis in this country. And what happens is the polarity inside societies oscillates between fear and love. You know, you find this in families, you find it in companies, you find it in countries and communities. And right now we really are in a fear polarity, which is horrible. It's absolutely miserable. And that's why men and women are afraid of each other. We have all of the, you know, these culture wars that we have in you know, virtually every segment of society. It's not based on hatred. Hatred is downstream from fear. And so what we actually need is for people to, I mean, I'm not trying to be a Berkeley Summer of Love kind of guy here in 1968. I'm a traditional conservative, but let me tell you, I will take that 10 times out of 10 over the fear and the anger and the depression and the hatred that people have and the loneliness that actually comes from that. So yeah, more and more marriage. But what I really want is a lot more romantic love.
A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Zooming with Arthur Brooks, he's William Henry Bloomberg, professor of practice and public leadership over at Harvard Kennedy School and professor of management practice at Harvard Business School. It's a great piece in The Atlantic about how happiness in America is falling off. So we've talked about religion. We've talked about marriage. The other aspect that you talk about here is friendship, that the percentage of people with fewer than 3 close friends has nearly doubled since 1990. That seems I would obviously bet money that that has something to do with the first two things. I mean, most people who say that they have close friends also probably have a solid marriage and are members of a religious community. It's a lot easier to find people with whom you have something in common when you go to church with them every Sunday. And it's a lot easier to find people that you can share time with when you actually have a partner or a spouse than it is when you are just by yourself. And there are also no social spaces where people even meet anymore. That's just not how people interact. This one seems like it should be largely attributable to the rise of the internet and this ersatz friendship that doesn't actually amount to friendship.
Yeah, no, ersatz friendship is exactly right. The huge problem with the internet is that it promises everything. That social media in particular promises these relationships. What they give you instead is a simulacrum for these relationships. There's a lot of good neuroscience on this, Ben. For example, there's a neuropeptide that functions like a hormone in the brain called oxytocin. We all know about this. It's the bonding hormone. It makes you love people with eye contact and touch. But you need eye contact and touch. You can't get it over Facebook, where it's everything is virtual. And so the result is that people will binge on social media because they're lonely, trying to get this oxytocin that they crave, and they don't even know that this is the thing that they're missing. It's kind of like having all of your meals, you know, eating burgers and fries and milkshakes, where you get your caloric needs, but you don't meet your nutrition needs. And so you're hungry all the time, but you're unhealthy. And that's exactly what's happening. Worse and worse, more tenuous relationships, greater loneliness. And now add to this Zoom work, where people are saying, yeah, it's really convenient. I want to do it forever, but I don't know why I hate my job and why I'm so lonely all the time. That's why being at work in person is incredibly important for almost everybody's life so that they'll have more friendship.
And then finally, you talk about workforce participation rate. We've talked on the show with Nicholas Eberstadt about the percentage of men who are dropping out of the workforce. It's obviously a dramatic fail by men. One of the things that has happened, again, all these things tie together. The decline of marriage has really had a massive effect on workforce participation rate among men, because one thing that is a very durable social science finding is that men earn more when they get married. Men who are single, they work fewer hours, they feel less necessity to earn, they earn to sort of get by, and then they have families, and then suddenly I've got a wife and a kid to support, and I need to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Marriage declines, there's no real rationale for men to go out and work harder, and so men are dropping out of the workforce. Meanwhile, women are working more, they're having fewer kids, and it's really almost a weirdly bifurcated demographic when you talk about working women. You've got working women who have kids out of wedlock and are very poor, and then you have working women who are highly educated and who, by the way, also have much higher marital rates than poor women. People tend to think of the working woman as a PhD college grad who is working a high-powered job at a law firm and is unmarried until she's 40. That's actually, in the United States, a fairly small demographic. It exists in New York and L.A., and it doesn't exist nearly anywhere else. It turns out that people who are more highly educated get married more and then are existing in two-earning couples, two-income couples. Why is the workforce participation rate among men declining so much, do you think?
Well, part of it is exactly what you say. You know, the essence of dignity in life, and dignity is at the center of happiness, is to be needed. This is the most important thing that we need to keep in mind. Despair comes from not being needed as a person. This is the reason the welfare state was so catastrophically, you know, it failed poor people so much, because it treated them like liabilities to manage as opposed to assets to develop. You know, you can spend as many trillions of dollars as you want, and you're not going to help people if they get the despair of being needed. Nobody's stupid. They know when they're liabilities. When you go from a society that says basically we need you and say, all right, I'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'll go to work and weirdly I'm happy. Weirdly I'm happy because I have some place to go. I have something to do. I have something to come home from. But when nobody needs you, well, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And this is the situation that a lot of men are in for lots of reasons, as it turns out. They've been left behind by the economy. They've been left behind by the culture. They don't know what to do. Nick Eberstadt is the best demographer in the world on this very subject. It's not a demography of work. It's a demography of dignity is what we're talking about.
Well, that is Arthur Brooks. Check out his great piece on family and religion and happiness over at The Atlantic this week. It really is fantastic. Arthur, great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Ben.
We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up. Remember that time that our entire society decided that marriage was a waste of time and basically random sexual hookups was going to be great? Well, it turns out that single people are not super happy about it. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
tickets this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With a cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Jack Cerritio, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, September 1st through 4th. Featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at CascadeTheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, the Reading tradition.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
09. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it turns out that single people are rediscovering this thing. It's called committed relationships. Well, in one piece of good news, it appears that single people actually are discovering that their entire worldview is stupid with regard to dating, which is a good thing. Maybe that is, you know, it's easy to despair of Western civilization. But maybe marriage will be revitalized by the fact that the alternatives really, really suck. The general idea that was sold by the left, which is that complete sexual freedom and individualistic autonomy with regard to sex, that it's just about consent. Consent is the only thing you need to make for a happy sex life, as opposed to, you know, commitment, institutions, monogamous partners. Now, that maybe that is collapsing in on itself like a dying star, because it turns out it actually makes people very, very unhappy. There's a good piece over at the Wall Street Journal by Elizabeth Bernstein. It's always funny when people are rediscovering marriage, but they won't call it marriage. And I go, well, we'll call it anything but marriage. We've seen this in the Washington Post. Christina Emba keeps writing about it. She's like, you know what? It turns out that this whole, you know, feminist revolution that said that we could have sex with whomever we wanted and this would be a substitute for having a husband and kids, maybe it turns out that that's not so great. Maybe we should do these things where we have, like committed long-term relationships with one person of the opposite sex where we have kids. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had like a societal name for that? It wouldn't be marriage, because as we know, marriage is basically any two people who love each other except for, you know, certain specified conditions. But like, what if it had another name? Like not marriage, but like marriage. It's fun to watch it happen in real time. So Elizabeth Bernstein has a piece titled, What Do Single People Want Now? Deeper Connections, More Substance. If only you had listened to your grandparents. I won't say your parents, because probably your parents were idiots, given the nature of today's generation. But maybe your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you know, the people who used to live in the real world before the baby boomers ruined everything. It's probably your great-grandparents. According to the Wall Street Journal, Tom Summers used to date around, prioritizing looks and career status. Then the pandemic hit. Like many singles, Mr. Summers spent months of lockdown by himself. When he returned to dating, he was surprised to find his taste had changed. "I realized I needed a partner of substance," said Mr. Summers, 59, who is a marketing executive. Wait, he's been doing this for 40 years? He's 59! When you read those first sentences, you're like, oh, he's probably a 25-year-old guy who's realizing that maybe he should look for someone of substance. He's 59! This is what we've done. We've created a society of 60-year-old losers who are dating around so they can screw whomever is the best. Like, what? This is what you've created. Only at 59. You're 59 years old. You've wasted your life. Sorry to break it to you. If you're 59 years old and you're a career single, not because of external circumstances that prevented you from getting married, but because your own ideology of dating prevented you from getting married, because you're just so entranced with your own sexual pleasures and independence, you have wasted your life. I'm sorry. You're now your comic book guy from The Simpsons. Certain decisions are better than other decisions. I know this is not. Certain decisions are better than other decisions. Meet the post-pandemic single, who apparently in America is a 59-year-old dude with no wife and no kids. He's just discovering that maybe he should have dated for values. Just like everyone else, single people have been rethinking their priorities over the past few years. Many say they are more eager to find a partner than they were in the past, and that they're dating more deliberatively, according to the results of the latest Singles in America study conducted by researchers at the Kinsey Institute and funded by Match, the dating app. They're also adjusting to political and social issues. They're even a little less interested in looks. Researchers surveyed a national demographically representative sample of 5,000 single Americans aged 18 and older who aren't in a committed relationship. Match funds the study. Nearly three-quarters of participants say they want to find a partner who wants to marry, roughly similar to last year, up from 58% in 2019. Oh, it turns out that wild loneliness caused by you staying in your room and the fact you can't go out to a bar and dull your senses with alcohol, like on a regular, that drinking alone in your apartment isn't a substitute for a marriage and family. Who would have thought such a thing, except for every human being for nearly all of human history, including today, where most human beings don't believe in the Western ideal of what life ought to look like? Half of singles say they're even more eager to find a relationship this year than in the past. Not everyone is looking to pair up, of course. Some single people found they enjoyed spending time alone during the pandemic, said Bella DiPaolo, a social psychologist who studies singles. Yet most post-pandemic singles are interested in dating. They're now more deliberate. Almost three-quarters of single people say they only want to go on a first date with someone they already know they have good chemistry with, the study shows. To figure this out, they say they're spending more time on phone calls and video chats. Today, one-quarter of singles said they've had a video chat with a date before meeting up in person, up from 6% in 2019. When they do, about one-third of singles say they will wait to have sex. Surprise, men are more likely than women to say they will wait, 40% compared with 33% of women, which shows you, by the way, how we have completely turned upside down expectations for women. And you'd expect those stats to be reversed, right? Because men generally, as a matter of all available social science data, enjoy casual sex more than women do. Just evolutionary biology suggests that this would be the case, and as it turns out, in virtually every social science study ever done, men are more interested in casual sex than women are. Women want more commitment, they want comfort level with a partner, men don't care. Women need a reason, men need a time and a place. But we've now intimidated so many people into not telling the truth on these surveys, that women are like, gotta nail them on the first date. Seems like an interesting societal fact. Fewer men than women are saying it. They're looking deeper. Each year, researchers ask single people what they're looking for in a partner. The number one answer this year is someone to trust and confide in. Three traits are new to the top five since the pandemic. Singles say they are looking for partners who are comfortable with their own sexuality. I don't know what that's supposed to. What? What is that even? As opposed to partners who are uncomfortable with their own sexuality? Like, who's looking for a partner who's uncomfortable with their sexuality exactly? Able to communicate their wants and needs and who are emotionally mature. Emotionally mature. Yeah. What dropped out of the top five during the pandemic? Physical attractions. People are basically like, I need a relationship and I need a relationship now. And if the person is a 7 as opposed to a 10, I guess I will just do that. Which, again, these used to be these sort of norms. Half of singles surveyed this year said they had fallen in love with someone they weren't initially attracted to, up from 39% in 2019. 60% of people say it's important for their partner to share their political beliefs. This is actually down from the all-time high of 78% in 2020. In 2016, it was 50%. Abortion is a hot topic. 78% of singles of reproductive age say the Supreme Court ruling striking down Roe v. Wade has changed their sex life. Two out of three single women will not date a partner who has opposing views on the issue. 13% of active daters said the decision made them hesitant to date. Oh, you mean people are having less sex now that they know they can't just dispose of a baby that might occur? Oh, what a tragedy. How sad for them. Mr. Summers, who is divorced, has a new dating motto: no more flakes. During the pandemic, he says he learned to enjoy his own company. That made him less afraid of being alone and more selective about whom he dates. Out are men who are handsome but shallow. In are ones who show genuine interest in him and know how to communicate. All right. Well, solid journalism there from the Wall Street Journal. But as it turns out, pretty much everybody is looking for a partner who shares values now. So it turns out that the sad loneliness that has been created by our radical individualistic society is not good for a huge number of people. And now they are looking to sort of backfill all of the loneliness and unhappiness that they've been experiencing. Really, really good job here. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The White House is sending mixed messages about negotiations to prevent a nationwide rail strike.
Earlier this week, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said President Biden was an active participant in talks with the railroad companies and unions.
The president is indeed involved directly, but I don't want to get into details at this time, but he has been involved.
But on Thanksgiving, the president told reporters he was not directly engaged in the talks. Manufacturing and retail groups warn that a rail strike could idle shipments of food and fuel while inflicting billions of dollars of damage to an already struggling national economy. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Biden, meantime, will visit Mexico in January. This according to Mexico's president. He says Biden will visit Mexico City as part of the North American Leader Summit. A robbery near Washington, D.C. has police and federal authorities concerned.
Police in Montgomery County, Maryland, outside Washington, D.C., say a Rockville, Maryland gun shop was robbed early Friday morning after a car rammed into the storefront. Police believe a half dozen people were involved in robbing Atlantic Guns, which happened at about 1 a.m. A stolen black sedan was used to ram the store. Weapons, including long guns, were reported to be stolen, but a number wasn't given. It is the second time in about a month the store has been targeted, and police say the two incidents appear to be connected. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is assisting police with the investigation. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
Shoppers were searching for the best deals at stores as retailers offer new Black Friday discounts to entice consumers eager to start buying holiday gifts but weighed down by inflation. A Bankrate survey finds close to 75% of people surveyed say they plan to do their Christmas shopping online. They have plenty of opportunities for sales with Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Prosecutors in Mexico are pushing for the extradition of an American woman who is suspected in the deaths of one of her traveling companions. Correspondent Donna Warder takes a look at a very unusual murder south of the border.
Mexican prosecutors have not named the woman they filed charges against, but a video that has been widely circulating on social media shows Shanquella Robinson of Charlotte, North Carolina, being beaten by another woman. A man with an American accent can be heard asking Robinson, "Can you at least fight back?" Robinson says, "No." An autopsy revealed that Robinson died of a severe spinal cord or neck injury. Prosecutors in the state of Baja California Sur say they've approached Mexican federal prosecutors and diplomats to try to get the woman extradited to face charges in Mexico, and a warrant has been issued for her arrest. I'm Donna Warder.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A cruise ship passenger who was missing for hours is found alive in the Gulf of Mexico. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The Coast Guard says the 28-year-old man was last seen Wednesday night and was rescued on Thanksgiving night. Carnival Cruise Line says the man was with his sister at a bar on the Carnival Valor at 11 p.m. Wednesday. He went to use the bathroom and never returned. His sister reported him missing the next day. A cargo ship saw a person in the water about 20 miles south of Southwest Pass, Louisiana, and the mouth of the Mississippi River. After the man was hoisted into a helicopter at about 8:30 Thursday night, he confirmed he was the missing cruise ship passenger. He was taken for medical care. The Coast Guard calls the rescue a miracle. I'm Mike Hempen.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW Post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude. And thanks for your support.
You're listening to Classic Chris, the Chris Plant Show.
Oh, this is fun. Earlier tonight, President Biden and the First Lady welcomed trick-or-treaters to the White House for the first fully in-person Halloween celebration since the pandemic. Trick-or-treaters were psyched. Every kid went home with a bag of candy. It was different than the last administration when every kid went home with a bag of classified documents.
Only take one classified document.
Uh-huh, those are going to
Mar-a-Lago.
A raid on Mar-a-Lago joke. They love government raids of their political enemies because they're leftists. You know how they are. Crazy leftists. Well, happy Tuesday to you. Chris Cuomo has a TV show. Nobody knew that. And you'll be surprised to learn nobody's watching. So he's got the solution. He wants a different time slot where no one will watch him then. Pretty good stuff. The Democrats are what's the word, Michael? Insane. And all the children are insane. Little Jim Morrison, Little Doors thing. Crazy. And at MSDNC and other left wingers everywhere. They're with the election, the midterm elections. They're plural, multiple elections across this great land of ours, and the media is telling you don't believe the polls. Well, no kidding. Where do you think we've been? Well, a bunch of rubes. You guys are the ones with the severe mental illness problem, according to Pew Research. It's not conjecture on my part. It's a scientific study. You know how these scientific studies go. And the Pew Research people found that so many self-described liberals are mentally ill that really you shouldn't take any of them seriously. Even the ones that aren't mentally ill are, I think they're probably just undiagnosed. Because we're talking about more than half of young white liberal women have been diagnosed, much more than half, diagnosed by doctors, medical professionals, not like Dr. Jill Biden, with mental illnesses. And, boy, that's a big part of what's going on in the country today. They have organized and unionized the mentally ill vote, the Democrats have. And we used to say in Chicago, vote early, vote often. As a little joke in Chicago forever. Can't say that anymore because it conflicts with the party message. You know, capital T, capital P, the party. So the people on MSDNC, they had this guy, little Weasley guy. I had a kind of a knockdown drag out with him, the Fox News Channel, many years ago. And he says six major battleground states, more than half the polls conducted in October, have been conducted by Republican firms. That's what MSNBC is saying here. Basically, we can't trust the data on Real Clear Politics or 538 any longer. Now, isn't that Nate Silver, hardcore Democrat Party apparatchik, 538, right? And now the left has gone so far left, so crazy, how crazy are they, that they don't trust their own pollsters. Real Clear Politics, not exactly conservative, or 538. They can't trust them any longer. It's essentially Republican propaganda. That's from the Joy Reid program. She is a devout racist. And MSNBC and NBC News, they pay her. They pay her for that seven-figure salary because, you know, they're racist too, and they're crazy. So we got all kinds of crazy for you today. And elsewhere on CNN, they're saying the same. You can't believe the polls because they're panicking. Here's the but they're mentally ill. You got to take that into account. The they have all this early voting everywhere, right? Because that's just one way of corrupting our system of electing leaders. Is this extremely early voting, mail out ballots, no signatures, no ID, no in-person voting. Like France, you know, I take the French voting rules here like this, like that, you know, which reminds me of Fetterman, of course. Ba-ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-bum. Because he is a representative of the Adams family, and I like to apologize to the Adams family for that because that's kind of unfair treatment of the Adams family, comparing them to Fetterman. And, boy, there's a lot of crazy. I got some poll numbers for you, but I don't believe any of them. You shouldn't believe any of them. You do have to look out because the Democrats have a huge lead in early voting. Huge lead in early voting, according to the polls that the left-wing radicals at MSDNC and CNN say that you shouldn't believe. In this case, they're onto something, though. You shouldn't believe them, but it's not because they've been conducted by Republican polling outfits. They, you know, when I think Democrats and polls, I often think of Hunter Biden and strip joints, don't you? You know, his baby mama was, she knew something about polls, didn't she? Brass polls, bidding. All right, so we got that going for us. There is a lot to cover. A lot to cover on a whole lot of fronts today. And we've got updates. The Washington Post has a ridiculous piece on the person that attacked Paul Pelosi. And there's a lot they leave out because the most insidious power the media has is the power to ignore. They're attacking the Supreme Court today in their only editorial cartoon in the Washington Post. I don't know how many armed assassin mental cases have to show up outside the homes of how many Supreme Court justices. Now, if I recall, just yesterday, in fact, this morning, the radical left-wing media, anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-Bill of Rights media, they call themselves Democrats, but keep in mind the Democratic Party isn't. The drawing board, it's a drawing board. Their editorial cartoon on the editorial page has a picture of the Supreme Court justices, just the Republican nominees to the Supreme Court, those justices. And a news reporter says to him, there are a lot of angry women, a lot of angry women. A lot of them are liberals and they're mentally ill. Voting during these midterm elections that may cost Republicans seats. Do you have any regrets that you took away their right to choose before the election? They always view everything in, you know, in terms of how it affects them on Election Day. And they have Chief Justice Roberts saying, yes, we should have taken away their right to vote first. See, that's it. They still continue to slime, smear, slander, malign, and endanger the lives of Supreme Court justices. Now, the crazy person at Paul Pelosi, the Paul Pelosi incident, Pelosi's house, and I looked, we had a caller yesterday that made this point, a listener that made this point, but I re-examined the aerial video of the Pelosi multi-million dollar mansion in San Francisco, one of many that they have. And there are, in fact, no solar panels on this big house. The house next door to them has solar panels all over the roof facing south. The house next door to that has solar panels all over the roof, but not the Pelosi house. Because, you know, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. They couldn't be bigger hypocrites if it were their goal to become bigger hypocrites. Also, the more news on fentanyl today, because fentanyl and fatal drug overdoses killed more than 107,000 Americans last year alone because of Biden's open border policies. And he is the final leg of the relay of fentanyl from China to the cartels in Mexico across our border to our cities, where last year more people died of fatal drug overdoses than we lost in the Vietnam War and the Korean War combined. Then we lost just last year in 1 year more people dead from fatal drug overdoses than we lost in the Korean War and the Vietnam War combined. And here's the headline in the Washington Post today. Biden's policies are not to blame for the fentanyl crisis. That's the headline. Yeah, whoo. Yeah, Michael swipes his forehead and says, whoo, that's good news. He's not to blame. You know what he's also not to blame for? He's not to blame for inflation. He's not to blame for high gas prices, for high food prices, for empty grocery store shelves, the looming diesel crisis, which is going to crush first the states in the east and the southeastern part of the United States. I know I read it in a magazine, you know, Benny and the Jets. And so we've got, but none of this is Biden's fault. Street violence, the crime, none, the Democrats, they're not responsible for anything. None of it. You know, and the rhetoric, you see, it's that Republican rhetoric that led to the crazy person who lived in a, you know, in a shack in Berkeley, California, typical Trumpster, right? It's the rhetoric that led to that guy going to the Pelosi house. And then I saw today in the Washington Post the further demonization of Supreme Court justices. We had the, you know, nobody even I don't remember the psychopath's name that was arrested outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home with a Glock pistol and multiple magazines and burglary tools and kidnapping tools. Because that was a half-day story. That was not like this Paul Pelosi story, which is really huge. It's, oh, and on the front page of the Metro sectional today, not the A sectional, but the Metro sectional, witness likens January 6th to revolution. That's their lead story on the Metro sectional, because that almost 2 years ago now, in January, it will be 2 years since January 6th, and it's still on the front page every day. Steve Scalise was shot on a baseball field. That was a one-day, maybe a two-day story by a Bernie Sanders volunteer. Wasn't really featured in most of the coverage of that. So we got some of that for you. And behind the GOP gaslighting over Pelosi attack, they know it won't happen to them. Really? Ask Steve Scalise and Brett Kavanaugh and Rand Paul and a whole bunch of other people that have been violently attacked, shot, punctured lung, broken ribs, attacks at their home, attacks on 15th Street in Washington after the last night of the Republican National Convention on the South Lawn of the White House. Honestly, Rand Paul was attacked on 15th Street in Washington, D.C. after the fourth night of the Republican National Convention in Washington, D.C., held by President Trump. He and his wife violently attacked by mobs of Democrat psychotic criminals affiliated with terrorist organizations founded in Germany in the 1930s. But pay no attention to that. That'd be Antifa for you Washington Post people listening along. because I know you don't follow the news. You're not aware of what's in the news. Rand Paul was attacked there. Rand Paul was on the baseball field when James Hodgkinson, a Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer, tried to murder every Republican on the baseball field, but was shot to death by the police because it was a suicide attack. Rand Paul was attacked in his front yard by a Democrat, had six ribs broken, punctured lung, had to have surgery on his lung. Doctors said that he could have died. But, you know, the lefties, the media, but I repeat myself, they have the gaslighting over Pelosi attack. They know it won't happen to them. Right, right. And the Washington Post with their headline, Pelosi attack rooted in political violence on right, not, quote, both sides, end quote. Really? I guess you don't remember the hundreds of riots in scores of cities, the thousands of injured police, the dozens of people murdered, the billions in property damage, thousands of buildings and homes looted and burned. None of that registers at the Washington Post because, well, that's by one of their typists from the DNC, Steno Poole, who is probably one of these mentally ill people in the Pew survey, I'm thinking. And the Washington Post also, another headline, Republicans have made violence part of their brand, says the party of the KKK, the Students for a Democratic Society, the Weather Underground, the party of cop killers, suicide attackers, bank robbers, revolutionaries, bomb the Capitol, bomb the Pentagon. That's the Democrat Party. And then, of course, you bomb government buildings and you get tenure at a major American university. In fact, you know, Kathy Boudin was sent to prison for decades for murdering two police officers during a Brinks truck robbery to fund the revolution against America. And the moment she was released, she was hired by Columbia University as a professor. Your brand is terrorism and murder and violence. Just saying. So we've got Election Day a week from today, but the Democrats have wiped out Election Day because of mail-out ballots and early voting, and they're crushing it in early voting, which means Republicans have to show up on Election Day in extraordinary and historic numbers to win the Senate and win the House. And the Democrats, by hook or by crook, by hammer and sickle, will do everything they can. Mass shooting in Chicago yesterday, because it was Halloween. Michael Piercy brought me in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup this morning, though, which, you know, is one of my favorite candies. I went to Halloween last night. I dressed as Joe Biden, and I went around sniffing children. I was arrested briefly and then released without bail. Not really. I just made all that up. I didn't do anything for Halloween in particular. I went out to dinner with friends. So we got that going for us. We got big tech. We got, you know, by the way, the mass shooting in Chicago was perpetrated by Democrats in a Democrat-run city. Elon Musk is an enemy of the party, and a whole lot more.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
Remember Normal, the mostly peaceful protests, and the FBI, Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. This is why freedom matters. Hi, it's Chris Plant, and all of these moments are captured at swagright.com. You'll find all the right swag from stores like freedommatters.store, sebgorka.com, and the Chris Plant Store. Swagright.com is the place to go to find great gifts like my Double Standards mug. Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Get all of the right gear at swagright.com.
Everyone can boost their digital confidence with NordVPN. All it takes is one simple click. NordVPN will block online trackers, hide your virtual location, and secure your devices from malware-infected files during downloads. It will also detect malicious websites. So catch the Black Friday deal for a 1 or 2 year plan at NordVPN.com and get 3 months for free. NordVPN, cybersecurity built for every day.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
Dell Technologies Black Friday event has arrived with select deals on top tech to power business productivity. The savings start now with up to 50% off select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, including free shipping on everything. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Black Friday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just want you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase? I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Also, while the Democrats love discriminating against Asians in college admissions because Asians do too well, and that throws off their whole narrative of oppressed minorities and white supremacy, and so they need to, you know, the Supreme Court and beyond, they need to keep discriminating against Asians and Asian Americans for doing too well. They aspire to the opposite of a meritocracy. And I asked Michael this morning, why do Democrats hate Asians? And he said, well, they hate everyone. So, yeah, good point. I keep forgetting that. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dan calling from Maryland. Daniel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
I am an election denier because I believe that the right to deny the results of an election is what separates us from a totalitarian country.
And from the animals, I think, from...
Yes. 2002, Chris, I was on a committee that did a recount on a local local election where the Democrat was protesting, and we did a recount. Uh-huh. Now, I don't go along with attacking the Congress, but I'll tell you what, if they did not allow recounts of elections in some of those states, what are you going to do?
Well, I tell you, the Democrats are deniers all over the place. Hillary Clinton's a denier. Their DNC chair, Terry McAuliffe, a denier. They denied the results of the 2000 election, the 2004 election, the 2016 election. And Hillary Clinton is projecting that she'll deny the election in 2024.
Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election.
She can see the future. She... Dan, you're right. It's part of the American way of life that we can challenge what our politicians, there's a lot of corruption in politics, maybe now more than ever in the United States, because the left is here. The real left. These are not liberals. This is the left. Hillary Clinton's an election denier. Stacey Abrams, Terry McAuliffe.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlu's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlu's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlu's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlu's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlu's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless people.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war? Where we're losing our country. It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
It's fall, y'all, and Black Bear Diner wants to make sure you lean into pumpkin spice season. Sip on a pumpkin cold brew made with our deliciously smooth and full-bodied coffee blend to spice up an afternoon or top off your next dinner with a slice of creamy pumpkin cheesecake. Start your day with pumpkin as well. Ask for pumpkin spice in your ever-popular sweet cream pancakes. We'll drizzle on some pumpkin spice sauce, add a dollop of whipped cream, and call it breakfast. Visit Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Yeah, you know, the Democrats, half of them have already voted in some states, and Republicans really have to show up on Election Day. To win, have to vote on Election Day, not election year, election month, election fiscal quarter, as the Democrats have it, with your mail-out ballots and, no ID necessary, no signature necessary, doesn't matter, just put on some blue latex surgical gloves and go put as many ballots into remote ballot boxes that nobody's keeping an eye on. Do it all day, do it all night. Drive from one ballot box to another and fill them up, because we know that we can depend on the Democrats to be doing that. We saw them doing it last time, 2,000 mules, which not one member of the so-called mainstream news media watched. Did they? No, they didn't. That's, And Fetterman, did you see John Fetterman? John Fetterman and his, let's go to soundbite number 14. John Fetterman, he's running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, and he looks like a scary thing from Night of the Living Dead or something. You know, not to criticize his physical appearance, but he's frightening and, you know, scary. The bolts on the neck are one thing, and the zipper, that's kind of weird. But he turns out John Fetterman and his campaign manager on the campaign trail, they put on a show yesterday. Did you see the show? They put on a little show. I had no idea that he was this talented.
Ladies and gentlemen, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Huh? See, it doesn't matter that he's not as articulate as perhaps he was, you know, before. Yeah, I think, how can you not vote for him? You gotta vote for him. And then everything went terribly wrong. I had to evacuate the...
For safety's sake, don't humiliate him!
That's John Fetterman and his campaign manager putting on a performance that was... I thought it was pretty good. You know, as I understand it, they're up for a Tony Award now. You know, they love to give their Democrat politicians awards for anything that they do. They win, you know, Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, and then he bombed more countries than any president since World War II. It's good stuff. He's also got, doesn't he, he's got all kinds of awards. They all get Grammys for, like, audio books that somebody else wrote. Oh, it was so breathtaking. They got Grammys. Half of them have Emmys because, they gave Gubernator Cuomo an Emmy for those press conferences where he lied about everything, just everything, murdering people and, you know, senior care facilities, and he lied about everything. And then they gave him an Emmy, and then he had to quit because all the women that he sexually assaulted. And then his brother, you know, Fredo Cuomo, he groped a bunch of women too, right? And now he's on News Nation. What is that, News Nation? And he's got a show, but nobody watches. I said, did you see the numbers? We're talking about, I mean, there are more people standing in Times Square right now than there are that watched Chris Cuomo's show last night. And he's very angry about this. Very angry. He is. Because, you know, he's not very smart. He's Fredo. He had that illness when he was a little kid, and his mom put that glass on his chest with the little burning thing inside of it, thinking it would suck the illness out of him. It didn't work. But, you know, they're crazy. They're crazy people. And they hate a lot, don't they? Again, the Supreme Court is looking at the Democrat Party practice of discriminating against Asians in college admissions, Harvard and North Carolina, because they love discriminating against Asians. The Democrats do. You know why? Because Asians do really well on standardized tests. You know why? Because they study real hard and stay up late, and then they do well on the tests because they want to excel at everything they do, take advantage of all that America has to offer, go to the best schools, and become successful for the sake of, well, themselves and their children and their grandchildren. But the Democrats see that, and they become very angry, and they say, they're too good, and they demolish the whole left-wing Democrat Party narrative that America is a terrible racist country where nobody can get ahead, and, you know, because white supremacy or something like that, and completely crazy. They're insane, aren't they? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Did you see the story out of Mexico? See the story out of merry old Mexico? This is a pretty crazy story. Because you don't see this stuff every day. This is another reason Democrats want open borders. There's a story out of Mexico, merry old Mexico, and a dog wandering through town. A dog wandering through town clutching a human head in its jaws. The dog is, right? And that's, you know, that should be frowned upon, but the cartels and all these crazy people, they sever heads. Decapitation is one of their things, like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And that's another reason the Democrats like open borders and importing the cartels, human trafficking, drug trafficking, fentanyl trafficking. The New York Post has the story, but the Washington Post doesn't. Dog caught running with decapitated head in mouth through Mexican town. And, you know, I was thinking, when are we going to go on vacation next to merry old Mexico? Because this is from actual video of the dog running through town with the human head clutched in its jaws. A dog was caught on video in Zacatecas, Mexico, merry old Mexico, running down the street with a human head hanging out of its mouth. The alarming video clips shared on social media show the stray dog. How do you know it's stray? racist, running down a dirt street at night, holding the corpse's head by the neck. Oh, sure, how else would you hold it? Probably too big around the cranium. Likely taking it somewhere to eat the remains. Well, that's just conjecture, of course. I can't necessarily draw that conclusion based on what we know. The head and other body parts were abandoned in an automatic teller booth in the town of Monte Escobedo. And an unnamed law enforcement official told Fox News the body parts had been left with a message referring to a drug cartel. See, this is arriba, arriba. I want to get up and do the Mexican hat dance and, you know, dance around the thing. I'm planning my next vacation for merry old Mexico because I love that mariachi stuff. You know what I mean? Ah, yes. Merry old Mexico, the old country. There it is. That's what you got in the head. You should see the video. It's, you know, they should show it to kids in school. So teach about other cultures. Teach about, you know, how Mexico and Mexican culture are superior to American culture, much better, because we're awful, because white people and things like that. I think they teach that in school anyway, don't they? Yes, they do. The dog's head, the human's head in the dog's mouth. That's pretty crazy. Yes, it is. On The View yesterday, you know, that's a TV show. It's called The View. It's a Democrat show. It's on ABC. They why do they hate Asians? Well, because they hate everybody, as Michael Piercy said this morning, correctly and accurately. And why do they hate Asians? At the, you know, at the Supreme Court, at Harvard and University of North Carolina, they why do they want to discriminate against Asians? Because Asians blow up their phony narrative about how racist we are and you can't get ahead. Am I right? Speaking of which, I was reading this morning in the newspaper. Have you heard of these things? They long time ago, they had these things called newspapers, and you could read them and be relatively well informed as to the great issues of the day. No longer the case. Who was it? I think it was Mark Twain that said, if you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspapers, you're misinformed. See? So even back then, it was like that, wasn't it? But I was reading, you know, we've got this Secretary of State. His name is Antony, not Anthony, but Antony Blinken. Antony Blinken. And Joe Biden yesterday went to New York to attend a funeral service for the father of Antony Blinken, who had presumably passed on. And it turns out that Antony Blinken's father came from Kiev, which is now in Ukraine, and he came to the United States, Jewish immigrants, and he's so fancy, he became so wealthy that he was a massive art collector, and he came here with nothing, of course, and came to the United States and became so wealthy that they're having a funeral service for him at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan, New York, on the Upper East Side. Cuts into Central Park a little. Biden attends Met Memorial for Secretary of State Blinken's late dad. It would be wrong to have a memorial service if you were not late, right? So that's the thing. President Biden stopped in Manhattan Monday to attend a memorial service for Secretary of State Antony Blinken's late father, Donald, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Naturally, where else would you have it? Source told the New York Post that guests mingled at the Met's Temple of Dendur before a service in the museum's 700-seat auditorium where speakers remembered the late financier and arts patron. You see, and they had at least one billionaire in attendance was cited there. Former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were invited, but they were no-shows. They didn't show up. But Biden's motorcade arrived at 11 a.m. and departed about 90 minutes later, the return trip to Washington, where he was going to go sniff children on the South Lawn of the White House while slipping candy into their bags because trick or treat. And he loves smelling the children. He sniffs them. So the thing is, the elder Blinken was a private equity tycoon, served as director of the firm Wahlberg Pincus. He was President Clinton's ambassador to Hungary. And it's kind of funny because he wasn't even from Hungary. But the late ambassador was well known as an admirer of abstract art and the painter Mark Rothko. He donated lavishly to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. A gallery is named after him and his Blinken's stepmother, the second wife of his father. But the thing is, this guy, Jewish family, Donald Blinken, came from Ukraine, what is now Ukraine, and from Kiev, and he came to the United States. See, Donald, he was born in Yonkers in 1925 to Jewish parents who had migrated from Europe. His father, Maurice, was born in Kiev, Yiddish author and yada yada. And then so wealthy that he's buying and selling Rothkos and funding the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and his service is held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And Biden's people, they didn't say where he was going. It's like he was going on a secret trip somewhere. And they flew into New York, and the motorcade went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art for a memorial service at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, then back to Washington to sniff the children. But they kept it a secret. They didn't tell anybody where they were going, which is pretty weird. And it's terrible that, you know, this awful, horrible country won't accept people like Jewish families from Ukraine who become so wealthy that they're patrons at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And, penthouses on Fifth Avenue overlooking Central Park, because we're a terrible, unfair country. And the Democrats, you know, the party of the Klan and Jim Crow, they want to continue to discriminate. They're arguing this in the Supreme Court against Asians because they do too well, and they're against that. Let's go to David calling from Central Valley, California. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, David.
I really like the phrase that you use for the left. If it wasn't for a double standard, the left would have no standards.
Uh-huh.
And I also looked at another phrase. I was wondering if you could help me out with it, you know, just to narrow it down. But if they didn't value death, mayhem, and destruction, they would have no value.
If liberals, it's true, I like to say if liberals didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. And you'd like to revise and extend, and I like it very much, because these are Democrat Party values, you know, racial discrimination, disparaging America and capitalism, but really, you know, harvesting the organs of 40% of the black population in the womb. And if the left didn't value death, mayhem, and destruction, they'd have no values at all.
That about sums it up.
I think it does about sum it up. You're in the Central Valley. They've shut down agriculture there because of a little smelt fish? What's the fish?
Yeah.
Boy, they just do everything amazingly poorly, don't they? If the left, the Democrats, didn't value death, mayhem, and destruction, they'd have no values at all. I like it. Thanks, David.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
The gift of the Cheesecake Factory. Through December 31st, get a free $15 bonus card for every $50 gift card purchased at thecheesecakefactory.com or at any of the Cheesecake Factory restaurants. Visit thecheesecakefactory.com for more details.
This week at Staples, save 60% on...
Thanks for your business this year.
Save 60% on...
Happy holidays, Nana!
Save 60% on...
You are cordially invited.
Right now at Staples, you can save 60% on custom printed holiday cards and invitations. So you can say, thanks for a great year, happy holidays, or come on over, all for less. For everything you need printed this holiday, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online, ends 12/3. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Dell Technologies' Black Friday event has arrived with select deals on top tech to power business productivity. The savings start now with up to 50% off select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, including free shipping on everything. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Black Friday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just wanted you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase, I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
Do you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes? Good news. There's a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative. Call U.S. Tax Shield, A-plus rated with the BBB, 800-391-5063 for your free consultation and let U.S. Tax Shield protect you from the IRS.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just wanted you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase, I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
While I was lying in an army hospital in Germany, my parents got a letter that said I had 48 hours to live. They even sent a flag to put on my coffin.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I left the military with a traumatic brain injury, and when I got home, I fought depression, anxiety, and alcohol, and had nothing to look forward to.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
With DAV's help, my world changed 100%. I was able to build a new life for myself.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
I'm Adam Greathouse, Army veteran.
But there are more victories to be won.
My victory is just feeling alive and experiencing life.
Adam Greathouse, thank you for your service. May your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Imagine being a Democrat and all the fluffing you get from the news media. The daily tongue bath from the... What a bunch of poodles. CNN has a fraud by the name of Robert Robb. Bob Robb typed up a piece there, hating on Carrie Lake in Arizona. The headline is, Carrie Lake, a rising star? Not so fast. And if you look at the article, I did a word search. He uses the word Trump 24 times. 24 times in a not very long article. I don't think there are 24 paragraphs, and he uses the name Trump 24 times in an attack on Carrie Lake, because Trump derangement syndrome is real, and the Democratic Party is the party of mental illness. It's very sad, really, but they shouldn't be allowed to vote, should they? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Scott, calling from Oakton, Virginia. Scott, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, love your show, and just have a comment on January 6th.
Yes.
Okay. If you remember, you know, shortly after January 6th, Chris Wray testified in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much exonerated everybody, said it wasn't coordinated, there was not one gun found. I don't know. If I had a question to Liz Cheney, I would ask her if she had faith in the FBI director. But anyway, I just hear so much of January 6th, and it always sets off sort of an alarm. And I think, God, I thought we litigated this one time. So anyway, love your show. Brother, I got a couple years on you, but two things I love about you. You got courage, and you're funny as heck. So anyway, just my comment. I'd like to hear what you think about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. You're very kind. Thanks. Thanks very much. Yeah, it's true. Well, see, this is what the Democrats do with information dominance. Again, we're in January. It will be will have been 2 years since January 6th of, of 2021. And the front page of the Washington Post Metro sectional today, witness likens January 6th to revolution. Second, Oath Keeper operates, cooperates, testifies against group's leader. Now, what about Antifa and Black Lives Matter and burning and looting all the cities and sacking and plundering and the three-day siege of the White House as the FBI tracked down the person that set St. John's Church on fire, the historic church of the presidents across from the White House, because the Democrats set that on fire. They didn't set the Capitol on fire. Forced the evacuation of the president and the first family to the bunker beneath the White House. The FBI, not a single arrest I'm aware of, and the news media forgot about it in a day. No big deal.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.